ready for the best damn show.
Entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears, and the place to be.
Previously on Best in Show.
Can I just say how ghetto our show is? All of a sudden I see Keith going through his backpack, and he takes out like a Poland Spring bottle filled with pink liquid. It was filled with pink liquid, and I was like, okay, that's definitely not just pink lemonade. You know, there's something. And Keith goes, Fred, watch out for me. And I'm like,
I think it's fine and normal that an adult in his 30s smuggled some drinks into the bar.
I think that's brilliant.
I had 5 water bottles and then like a thermos filled with, and like a Cherry Coke Zero little bottle like filled with pink lemonade, Crystal Light, and vodka.
But then maybe like halfway into the night, me and Keith are seated again, and I'd say to Keith, watch out for me.
That's why now.
I said, I'm smoking right here. I just smoked right in the courtyard.
Excuse me, he put up a 24. He didn't give up, nor did he quit. He put up numbers, my friend.
Wait, hold on a
24.
Second. Keith, he scored 24. What did you score at the event?
I didn't play the game. My coach, Rob Giggs, threw in the towel for me. He said, forget it. He can't even play. This isn't happening.
Leave it into the ring. That's advice from Coach Giggs. Don't even bother stepping in. Don't part the ropes.
And by the way, for anyone that didn't get to hear the replay or that wasn't there or
see
or didn't get to see it, hear or
you,
see the replay or the live
smell
or smell it. Exactly.
Do we have a scratch and sniff version of it online that people can check out?
Coming soon in the pop-up.
Oh, it's coming. I don't want to smell that.
It's
really? What? Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now my pleasure to introduce the best of the best. Best in Show.
Welcome!
Just like that, I'm trying to muster it up. You know why? Because it's Thursday night. It's time for Best in Show. Best in Show Radio here on Heroes Talk, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be. Want to be a part of the magic? You can. Use that phone you got. 877-744-6405. 877-744-6405. It's talking, it's fun, it's stupid. Jerks, you know what I mean?
As long as it's size of old.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. My name is Chris. I'm going to be hanging out with you for about 3 hours, give or take, tonight. And I'll be honest with you, I'm going to be dying the entire time. I'm not feeling right. I feel like I'm burning up with a fever. There's all sorts of issues happening inside my body, physiologically, metaphysically. It's terrible. Luckily, I have my best friend of my entire life to lean on. His name's Keith.
Hey, how are you? I just want to tell everyone that we are live on the Hear Us Talk Radio Network. That's Best in Show Radio, and we'll be here till 11 p.m. Eastern Time tonight.
At least.
Now, can you loop that? Because I have some stuff to do in the room.
Sure, no problem. I'll do one better than that. I'll look over to the right next to you, and I see a guy wearing, I don't know, some sort of bicycle club shirt or something. Whatever. His name's Fred.
Best in Show Radio. Just get us on bestinshow.com. What's up, guys? How are you?
Best in Showing.
Good.com.
Hey, Fred, what's up? Best in Show Radio, live till 11.
Thanks for having me, guys, here on Best in Show Radio, live from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m.
Fantastic.
Best in Show, the thing to do with your ears on Hear Us Talk.
Oh, this is a very interesting new pattern. I wasn't aware of it. Hey, look who's over there. It's Best in Show, and it's Brown.
That's Best in Show Radio, loving it live.
That's gross. This is really gross. I really don't understand what's happening right here. I'm a little confused by the whole thing. Maybe my...
I was just doing something stupid, and stupid spreads in this room.
It's like a
nobody's
disease.
Business.
It's like an infection of fever that's burning through my body and killing me. Hopefully, the guy who's making the ship right and everything good and fancy and producing this entire show, Bobby G, hopefully he'll keep me awake and alive.
Chris, what's going on with these guys?
I don't really understand.
I have no clue what's going on.
Wow, thank you. I was waiting for you to start saying bestinshow.com.
Come on,
Robbie, join.
By popular demand, I do have something that was requested of me this week. So without further ado, if you want to talk over the unveiling.
Sure.
I have a shirt that I've worn 5 times, but everyone loved it particularly this week. Sorry to bring up this topic. But
oh, no, that's a good shirt. I thought you were going to, it was your Polish princess shirt is what I was hoping it was.
No, I lost that shirt.
Yeah, Keith is wearing his I don't care about Kanye West shirt, which is very, very exciting.
Thank you.
Apparently you care about him enough to wear a shirt about him. Big superstar.
No, I care so little about him, the shirt just appeared.
Wow, that's weird.
It's like a backwards metaphysical time warp or something.
Look, I'm going to let you talk, but I think Fred's got the best t-shirt in the room.
No. I have the best t-shirt around.
See, Keith, bad publicity is good publicity. You know, either way, you mention his name, you get his shirt out there. I don't think you should be wearing it. I think you should boycott all things if you're really going to hate the person.
I think you should boycott everything. Yes. Boycott everything on the planet. Do nothing.
Boycott shirts.
Actually, boycott doing nothing, too.
I
love the idea of Keith boycotting shirts. I love... Guys, can we go shirtless for the rest of the show? What do you say? Come on, like friends. For Keith. For Keith's sake. Let's boycott shirts for Keith.
But can I still wear mine as part of my boycott?
Obviously. You know what? I implore every listener of Best in Show to get on cam tonight, get your shirt
Let's
off
go.
For Keith. Seriously.
Let's get our shirts off. Come on, boys. Let's go.
It's not going to happen.
Come on.
Keep my shirt on.
Yeah.
My shirt stays on.
Basically,
who lost like 900 pounds, of course he was to take his shirt off.
I'm just going to say that I'll use any excuse at any point to not have a shirt on. Sometimes my daughter 2 days ago actually looked at me confused when I had no shirt on. I'm like, please, what are you doing, Daddy? Go put shirt on.
Please, Daddy, stop.
I love walking around with a shirt off.
Dude, it's so liberating. It is very liberating. I was just going to say the same exact thing. It is very liberating.
I don't wear my brassiere.
I'm sorry. I just poked Keith in the eye here.
But we're doing it for Keith. We're doing it for Keith, taking our shirts off.
You realize it makes us feel like we're in jail. Like, it may be liberating to you, but not to the people around you.
I just thought we were playing basketball in gym class.
By the way, baby girl's asking in the Pal Talk room, girls too. Of course, obviously, but if you're not comfortable having your cam on for that, just let us tell us that your shirts are off and we'll just believe the lie. It's fine.
Come on, boys. Get with it. No? Look at these guys. What
to be
prudes.
Yeah, I feel a little weird now. I feel like I should put my shirt back on. I'm a little embarrassed.
No, you guys should stay shirtless.
In all honesty, I'll sit with my shirt up for days on end. I'll go to work tomorrow with no shirt, just for this.
Look at Fred's tiny little nipples.
Totally. I shave around them.
Do you really?
No, yeah, you just around They're the nipple. Not like in the tuft area,
because you have
nipple
hair
area.
In the center of your chest. It's kind of...
Well, you have them on your nipples, even.
I do, but I trim them down because they would be wildly...
He doesn't want to actually take a blade to the area. Areola itself.
See, I do the whole thing, but then I stop over here. So I'll do like up until
your
like
bosoms. You do your bosoms.
Then, yeah,
you shave your boobs, but you leave the man trough of your stomach furry.
I just want to say I'm a tremendous fan of Keith's titties. I really, really am. But the thing that makes them all the more appealing is his fingernail painted hands accentuating and showing them. It's like, wow, I really feel like I'm watching chicks flashing me right now. This is really great. By the way, I'm sure the job hunt and interviewing process is going great with blue nail polish for you.
No, I didn't have an interview today.
Or three
days ago when I painted.
To be honest with you, I thought it was just his like one thumb. I didn't know all of his nails were polished. I didn't even realize.
You thought he like had a hammering accident or something?
Like just a coke nail.
On my life, right before the show was starting before, I was about to say, honestly, guys, and I was just about to say, Keith, how do you walk around with nail polish on? Seriously, 35 years old is what I was thinking to myself. And I was like, you know what? I'll just talk about it.
If I was a 35-year-old girl, would you say that to me?
No. I would say.
So there you go.
You think so? This is like you're making a big stand.
Racist. You're racist against nail polish.
I'm racist against guys who are girls.
You're racist against guys.
I tell you. Obviously. I tell you this. I'm making a political statement. If I was hanging out at a bar and there was a dude next to me, I would rather him be shirtless than be wearing nail polish.
No,
I think wearing nail polish is a little more creepier.
Stop it.
Okay. I think it's slightly more normal for a guy to be shirtless than wearing nail polish, but I don't think I want to be next to the guy who's shirtless.
Yeah.
Because you don't want sweaty man trunk coming near you in a bar.
I'm not talking about any contact. Now, no physical contact. You just have to be you just have to be in the vicinity of the person, a 3-foot vicinity. I think the guy with the nail polish is
Fred,
a little more
creepy. Does this bother you?
Ooh, that does bother me a little. Keith just touched me. It did bother me.
Gently. Okay, caressed your shoulder.
I'm wearing nail polish. I don't know if you guys noticed.
And you got that done for you, I guess, right? Keith?
Those are definitely a pro job.
The Manny? Oh,
you know what? Actually, my girlfriend painted these for me.
Yeah?
But yeah, because I was about to do it, and then she's like, oh, why don't you let me do it? Because usually I have, like, painted fingers. As long as I've been doing this at times, I still can't figure out that it only goes on the nail. Like, I can't color within the lines, the finger version.
Your whole finger. You just walk around with, like, big blue fingers.
Somehow it ends up on my face.
He soaks in it, like a palm olive.
Awesome. Don't get me wrong. I understand nail polish. I think it's terrific. I have my own collection of it. I love it. It's fantastic.
Well, I don't understand nail polish.
But I don't wear it anymore. Like, when I was a young...
Cocaine.
Basically junkie. That's what I was painting my nails all the time.
Fred,
let
me explain nail polish. No, I just like it. But but thank you for making that association.
I know, you're 700 pounds. I'm sure that Edward's worried about that.
Fred, nail polish is something, if you go to the proper pharmacy, when your wife asks you to,
yes,
you go look in their makeup section and you'll see nail polish there.
Yes, Mizzo, in the Heroes Talk Room. I am the one with the giant Hello Kitty tattoo that's creeped out by guys wearing nail polish. Again, not creeped out by it. I'm just confused. I'm confused at this juncture in life when you're worrying about, I don't know, like things like getting a job that you're sitting around with nail polish.
I'll take it off.
Okay, I believe you.
I don't know. I felt like wearing it.
But I just think nail polish is ridiculous either or. Like, for girls, too. Like, why accentuate, like, the gross parts of your body with nail polish?
You think nails are gross?
I think nails are gross. I think fingers and toes are gross. So why accentuate
fingers?
Them? I think fingers and toes are pretty gross.
Fingers. Toes, I can understand.
A chick has
something
bad
weird
fingers.
About them. Don't get me wrong. I find feet to be fantastic, every piece of them. But I could understand the toe, at least, because they're like little stubby little Vienna sausages at the end of this big meaty thing.
Yeah.
But fingers?
Fingers. I'm freaked out by fingers, man.
Hands. Fingers, like, don't freak you out.
Yes, they do. Like, they have to be in proportion to the palm. Like, you see, if my hands, my palm is just as big as my biggest finger.
Your palms are bigger than your big
out,
finger.
Right? And that freaks me out a little.
Okay, you should be freaked out by the fact that you're weird and not in proportion with yourself. You shouldn't be freaked out by the fact that you have digits.
Well, there's...
Or that everyone on the planet has digits, as long as they're lucky enough.
If we only had hooves, everything would be right.
Exactly.
In your world.
Cloven feet, we'd be thrilled.
But other people are disproportioned, even worse than me. They'll have long fingers.
My fingers are longer than my palm, I'm noticing.
See, yeah.
Small palms or long fingers? What is it?
I got big palms, small fingers. And it's the most disgusting thing. And my wife has the opposite. She has E.T. fingers. Like, she'll give me the middle finger, and I'll just laugh because her middle finger looks like the E.T. finger. So when she gives me the finger, I don't think, like, she's saying F you. I think she's saying phone home. I swear to God.
What, she's got, like, an extra knuckle or something?
Well, her fingers are bigger than her palms, so it's, like, a disproportionate type of thing. And I'm just really...
You're weird.
I just really noticed that.
I'm really looking around. I think everyone's hands look like normal.
No.
I've never focused on hands.
Keith has a 700-pound body and a girl... hands of a 13-year-old.
By the way, it's being pointed out in Pal Talk Room by our buddy Barb, bunch of homos. Because like, this is what we're doing. Nail polish, your hands are too big. It's terrific. It's Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com.
What episode number is this that she's realizing?
I know. Well, some people take a little while to catch on and realize that we're homos. Awesome. It's Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Heroes Talk. You want to be a part of the magic, you can. 877-744-6405. All that stuff. Yeah, I'm telling you, I just think hands are normal. I think it's all fine. Really? I can't tell if this is Fred's lie of the week or if this is just – if he actually really has that issue.
It freaks me out. They freak me out just because I notice it. That's the thing that – when you look at a girl or somebody and
like you're big on, what do you look at? You, Chris, you obsess over things with other people that you look and you notice.
What, that I don't like about them?
The douchey faces.
Oh, if you have stupid, you mean the stupid smug look on someone's face?
Exactly.
That's different.
No,
you
it's
wanna,
not.
You want to smash someone. No, because it's not like, ew, this is gross. It's that person's walking around like, yeah, me. Yeah. It's not like someone who has hands. They're not walking around saying, ooh, I have hands. You know, like they're just a person and you're like picking something out about them that you don't like.
Honestly,
someone that's walking around with that face, like they're just being like, yeah.
Hair is the first thing I see. Bad hair, kind of like. It doesn't creep me out, but I look at someone who's got like kind of bad hair and I'm like, eh.
Really?
Eh, yeah. Crappy hair.
No mirrors at your house, I guess?
I got some bad hair recently. I have to admit. I need some work.
Smugness doesn't bother me in person as much as it does on like people's Facebook pictures when they have a smug Facebook picture.
I love that when a Facebook picture says,
pfft. It's the perfect.
Whatever.
That little sound, it, like, just gets the idea perfect.
It's either psst or that thing. Whatever. Stupid face. I'll rip your stupid, like, Billy Idol-style Elvis wannabe lip thing off, jerk. And your head cocked to the side. Ass.
Same way I feel about messed up hands.
Right. You know what? Let's start lopping everyone's hands off. If your hands are not in perfect proportions, we're going to lop them off.
So you're going to lop heads off. He's going to lop hands
just
off.
Just lips.
Brian's going to scalp people to get rid of their hair.
No, just style. Just wash and style. Okay. That's all.
My hands for nubs program is going to be great. It's going to go over really well.
Vanessa points it out in the Hero Stuck Terror. It's duck face. That duck face.
Duck
terrible.
Face.
But duck face
they
is almost
bill.
Like, that's a little bit like trying to be even too cool.
That's the chick face, I think, when they're like.
The kissy face?
Like the kissy duck face.
That's not smug. I look at that as just douchey.
Yeah, and a douche isn't a smug douche like that. Like Johnny Spikehead, who's sitting there with his duck face
like
on, isn't like.
Right.
You think that guy's not?
Yeah, totally.
When I see duck face, I don't see that as.
Seriously, check out Fred's guns when he poses like that with that shirt off. It's nice.
Wow, Fred's in shape. That X-Lax is really working for him.
Awesome. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Uh-huh. I don't have a douchey face, do I, Chris?
No, I think you have a fantastic face.
I think
you're adorable.
Your Fred, like.
Continuing with the whole concept of the world's most homo show, I think you have a beautiful face.
Yeah,
thanks,
your
dude.
Fingers are stupid.
That's true.
And can I totally sidetrack us?
Haven't we done that for the past 20 minutes?
On something you just said, I'm sorry. You said homo. I was recently on a social networking site. And there were people
speaking of homos.
And there were people talking about like I don't want to go into too much detail, but like old friends and stuff. And like it somehow it came up like I guess like an old friend that they were referring to as gay, and somehow it came up like, oh yeah, could you believe it? Yeah, the guy's a mo. I'm not surprised. You know what I mean? And it's just like it was just kind of like it's so weird to me because like if somebody made like said like something blatantly racist on Facebook, everyone would be all up in arms. It would be on the news or something. But it's just so accepted and random to just say, oh, that guy's a homo. Yeah, you believe? Yeah, I'm not surprised.
I see what you're saying, but I think that you are not realizing the rampant racism and everything else ism that's happening all over Facebook anyway.
That's because he's a Polak.
That's true. He's not bright enough to figure
that's
that out.
Wait. Stop. Brian, say that just a little slower.
He didn't get it.
But he's Irish, that's why.
Understood. But I'm thinking that just that you're not realizing how rampant that stuff is everywhere. I think it's fine.
I guess when it's people I know just saying it, it's just caught by surprise. Like,
oh, this is someone
yeah.
you knew that you didn't think
one
you'd
person
say something
I
like that?
Know. Well, yeah, one person I know the other day, and it's not somebody I know. It's somebody I've known a long time that first didn't say that, was just kind of had a reaction of I wonder about that guy. You know what I mean? And the other person's like, oh yeah, he's a mo. He called him or a homo, whatever. Like,
stop. See, when you say a mo to me, I'm like, hey, what's up, mo? Hey, he's a mo.
It's just like, yeah, I'm not surprised. It's just like, wow, all right.
I'm not surprised.
And when somebody puts like something like that out in public. And you're finding out about it. I mean,
I had a comment. I guess
privately.
I am going to go into detail. These are people from the old neighborhood that I grew up in, and I had a comment on this. It started with something about the old neighborhood, and I felt the need to click the unlike button and remove my comment from the whole thread because I didn't want to like be in, like.
Please not associate with me
anymore.
With this
like,
at all.
I just thought it was weird. I guess I shouldn't think it's weird in the world we live in, but I guess I was caught by surprise.
Do me a favor, tweet me who that person is so I can blog about them later on my video blog.
I gotcha.
I'm gonna make sure I know everything
on
about
your weblog or your video weblog?
Dude, no, my video weblog, which by the way is burning up the charts. I don't know what those charts are, but they're sick. It's all
Keith
over the place.
Is a little like a politically correct cop over here.
I know, and
like protecting the Moes.
The world's in trouble if I'm the politically correct cop.
Wow.
Right. But yeah, sorry, I just wanted to sidetrack.
I love the conversation burning in the Pal Talk room where it's being explained. Yeah, it's not shirts versus skin. It's just a bunch of guys sitting around shirtless talking about homos. Obviously, that's what we are.
Don't forget nails.
And nail polish.
And nail polish. And Mohs. And Mohs in general. It's Best in Show, obviously. Best in Show Radio here on Heroes Talk. I don't know if you guys are aware, this weekend was the holiest day on the Christian calendar. If you didn't know, the beginning of the NFL football season. And I was a little bit excited for it. Got a little. It's really true. It was some sports this weekend. It's the thing that I get the most excited for. It's like my favorite time of year because I'm a big football fan, despite my shirtlessness, or maybe because of my shirtlessness. I'm a tremendous fan. I got all excited. This is the first year, actually, that I have high-def TV, and I actually have a big TV screen in my living room for the first time, and I'm all excited about it. Got my NFL package, and I'm geared up for the big football contest this weekend. And for those of you that, we were talking stupid before about social networking sites, anyone on Facebook saw about 15 minutes before the game started, my daughter realized that a movie starring some 16-year-old girls that she loves was on Disney. She realized this about 10 minutes before football started.
Lucky.
So despite being all amped up and psyched and like, yes, finally I'm actually going to, you know, it's the beginning of the football season. I'm going to get to see my Miami Dolphins, against the Atlanta Football Falcons in high def on a big screen TV. This is exciting. I actually got to watch it.
Puts it in perspective, doesn't it?
It really does.
Is this the theme song for that TV show?
Oh. Wow, it really gets great to be a comic show sports.
I know that show, Sports.
But yeah, I got to enjoy...
Never ending.
It doesn't end. It's the 3-hour sports song. I got to enjoy this. I got to enjoy my NFL game. The beginning of the season, not in high def, but on a small TV in the back of the house because the 5-year-old wins and she gets to watch whatever Disney movie.
So
she
you
wants.
Did leave the room. You went somewhere else to watch it, just in a smaller TV. There's no not missing this. Excuse me. There's no missing this show for you. That's just not.
Oh no, no, that's not an option. That's not an option at all. But I did miss it in high def and on the big screen TV the way that I wanted to see it. My daughter got to see a bunch of Disney stars instead on the big TV, and it broke my heart. It was a shame because I was really looking forward to it, and I know everyone. Yes, the Dolphins lost. I guess I shouldn't have wanted to see the game anyway. The only one who cared about it and loved it was Keith.
How was the movie?
Oh, it was terrific. It was terrific. I'm a big fan of Princess Protection Plan. So everybody, I suggest everyone go out and get it. It's a fine film.
Was it a scary movie?
I really wouldn't know. I really wouldn't know. I didn't get to see it.
Come some sports here. I love remixes.
Obviously. What do you mean? I thought this is the way that it came out. This is the original.
Sports. He said some more sports in there.
Obviously. But it was just crazy to be looking forward to something and being so geared up for it because you only get being a Dolphin fan, I only get 16 games of the year, or maybe I'll get one playoff game, and that's about it. And I look forward to it all year long, and I didn't get to enjoy it. I didn't get to enjoy my big day the way I wanted to. Wah.
I got to enjoy half of it. I found out that I don't know, somehow I managed the game ended up on my TV. So I just went with it, and then halfway through it didn't. So that was a little disappointing to have it like in the middle of the third quarter taken away from me.
But you should probably talk to some of your friends on Pal Talk and see if they could help you out with ordering a TV plan or having a private message window or something like along those lines. I'm just saying, guys who have DirecTV might be able to help you out with that.
I did. It was just he was at a birthday party when I called.
Oh crap!
He was watching Princess Protection Plan.
That's the amazing part about it is I had two things. Which one was that? Which sports was that?
Didn't happen.
No, he's just listening to the Beastie Boys now.
Nice. No, I actually had two things that were an issue for me. Oh my god!
Previously on sports.
What was
previously on sports? Obviously.
Wait, do that. Do over.
He apparently doesn't want to do it over.
Here comes some sports.
No, go ahead. Done.
What do you mean? What's it to go with? I thought we were just doing sports. No, the thing is, in addition to the Prince of Protection plan, it was also my goddaughter's first birthday party. So I was only going to get to see the first half of the game anyway, and I was going to leave for the second half. I was like, all right, I'll at least see the beginning of the game. It'll be fantastic. I didn't get to see the beginning of the game in high def, and I didn't get to see the second half of the game. I got to go watch, some crap New York team playing.
I got a question. Was her movie in standard definition, or did you make sure that she was watching it in high def?
No, she was watching it in high def. She was watching it in high def.
Yeah, but that didn't matter.
No, whatever. I could have drawn the pictures on the screen in crayon, and she would have been happy. Like, oh, yeah, it's my great show.
Yeah, but I'm thinking, like, if you got two TVs and she's okay with the standard definition, maybe you can relinquish her to the back room to go watch her Princess Protection plan.
Our buddy Vanessa suggested that on my Facebook page as well, but, like, that's my girl. That's my little baby. I'm not going to stop her from doing anything. Not to be like a homo, like homos. But it's my little, it's my daughter. I'm not going to say no to her. You know, my life is going to be.
It's going to be like that the whole, like until she's out of the house, until she's 18 years old. You're never going to say no to your daughter.
50 years old until she's 50 years old. I can't imagine. At this point, I can't. When it's something as benign as can I watch this TV show instead of you watching your TV?
Wait a minute. What if it was the Dolphins Super Bowl? She finds out there's some chicks on the TV that she wants to watch. What are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you going for?
Like my sweet 16 birthday. She wants to watch this repeat because it was her favorite. She's 13 years old now. Are you telling her go in the back room and watch your dumb show?
But 13 years old is different. 13 years old. She's a 5-year-old.
And Fred, for
That's
the record.
What I'm asking. Where's the line?
I don't know. I haven't figured it out.
Is it not the paying the $400 for the NFL package? That, you know, I mean,
I still got to enjoy my NFL in the other room.
Yeah, that's true.
But it was your first TV. It was your first big day.
Fred, for the record, clean slate week one. It was the Dolphins Super Bowl.
So you didn't answer the question, Chris. This year, Dolphins go to the Super Bowl. Girl wants to watch a movie on TV. Are you choosing your daughter or
choosing your daughter?
Here comes some. Are you choosing the movie or? Here comes some
sports. I'm going to say the Super Bowl is a different animal. The Super Bowl is a different animal. And there'll be an event. You know, it'll be like a thing. Commercials. It'll be fun. She'll enjoy it. I don't know. My wife probably would want to watch the commercials on the Super Bowl, so I wouldn't be. She wouldn't be allowed.
Tell her.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Sorry. Tell her every game Demi Lovato is playing next time, and then say, "Oh, I thought it was this one. I guess next time."
Hey, Walter Sobchak, I don't really appreciate the jokes about did he just say Dolphins in the Super Bowl when you start laughing, okay? Because it's going to happen. Destiny will smile on us one day.
So let me take this back a couple of minutes there. You just said if your wife was into the commercials, you would be okay with disappointing your child by watching the Super Bowl. Is that it? Democracy? It's two against one? Sorry, you don't get to watch Princess
or
Persiana?
I'm a pushover. My entire family wouldn't get pushed over. My wife is a little bit better about as Vanessa was suggesting, introducing my child to reality and life and some disappointments that can exist. You know, I'm not so good at that.
I know how to fix this.
Oh, boy.
For her birthday, get her a 50-inch TV for her bedroom.
Oh, that's a terrific idea.
And then she could watch it in her big screen.
Yeah, no, I'm not. My daughter isn't going to have a TV in her room. That's crazy.
Or your other room, your computer room.
Give her the internet.
She already has the internet.
Really?
She wanted to see the Princess Protection plan at that time, right? Yeah, Demi Lovato, Selena Gomez, Together at Last. It was a great film.
I remember you. I remember you telling her at times when football was coming on, "No, we're going to watch football now," you know, and then she'd be okay with it. Like so,
Daddy was half in a bag moment. Back though last year. Are you kidding me?
Well, one, Daddy might have been a little drunker at that point. One. Two, she was a little person that didn't know what she wanted. Like, she has her favorite shows now and her favorite characters and favorite things that she wants. Like, I'm not going to deprive her. I'm not going to, you know, and she doesn't have a TV in her room.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say, hey, go lay in Daddy's bed and go watch the movie while I sit on the living room couch.
She was mush before. Like, when she was watching the TV, it was just making flashy lights, and it didn't matter if it was football or cartoons.
Not quite. But I don't think the idea of missing her show was something that affected her in that way.
Now it's huge, yeah.
Yeah, of course. These are her favorite.
Yeah, and
we've had crying matches, like crying bowling, when she realized that the TiVo didn't get a full episode of something, that she only caught the second half of a show.
I watched you cry because you missed the last 3 minutes of the UFC reality show.
You mean The Ultimate Fighter? Yes. Tough, my friend? Tough 10 heavyweights?
Where she gets this from, I wonder. It's probably just because she's a little girl, not because you are.
So you were real excited to watch it.
Of course.
And then never got to do it.
Well, I actually TiVo'd it, but I don't like the idea of watching DVR'd sports. I don't like the idea of watching sports, not live, one. And two, I don't like the idea of watching a game when I know that the final score is 18-7 before it starts and my team is on the losing end and there's nothing to see.
But it's not really, in the scheme of things, it's not all that big.
Of course not. Uh-huh. Of course not. There's not going to be anything big for a Dolphin fan this year. It's not going to be the year for me to watch it, to worry about anything.
It really, I thought like the first game of the season, wasn't it Monday Night Football or something?
No, it was on Sunday.
Isn't that even bigger?
Yeah, like a huge. It was a football game. There's going to be 15 more of them, and it's going to be fine. It'll be terrific.
Yeah, but she'll want to see that movie at least 20 or 30 more times.
We'll work that out. We'll work these details out. I have to get some sort of masculinity going in my life. Say, come on, baby, please, let's start watching football. Maybe I'll get like a football, and she'll enjoy it.
Bring back the beer can bowling for on Sundays afternoons, and you'll be fine. See, Daddy doesn't have the beer cans that piled up after the shows. You know.
You didn't do that.
No, I never did beer can bowling. No, but yes, maybe Daddy might have been a little drunk and might not have cared so much. Maybe that's not who Daddy is anymore.
I think it's also the fact that you were probably figuring, I have to leave soon anyway. I can't even enjoy the whole game anyway. You know, like
no.
What if she told you, I'd like you to leave while I watch this?
She definitely has in the past.
No, the house.
My daughter has definitely told me when I walked into the living room, Daddy, can I have some privacy, please? And I've definitely walked out.
That's my kind of girl.
What am I going to say?
That is your daughter.
But let me point out, Princess Protection Plan, she looks up at me with those doe eyes. She looks up at me like she's, what's that girl, the Kanye girl, Taylor? I don't even remember her name already.
Taylor Hicks.
She looks like Taylor Hicks with the doe eyes, like all sick. Taylor Hicks, same difference.
Some redneck hick.
But yeah, she looks up at me with the dough. I was like, Daddy, Princess Protection Plan. I was like, all right, watch it. I'll go in the other room and watch it on my stupid small TV.
Next time she gives you those dough eyes, you got to say, I'm sorry, honey. I want to watch my...
Sports. That's what I'll try.
You should just play these for her.
So nothing. It was a disappointing thing. Like to be all geared up, amped up for something, and then not get it. Nothing. You guys, I guess, get what you want when you gear yourself up, or you make a point to get it.
My whole life is disappointment.
I basically was in that same. It was identical to the fact that it was the same game. I was kind of excited that I finally was going to be able to watch like a full entire game, and then the means I was trying to watch it on aren't the most secure. There's no office to call up and say, hey, why isn't this working? So I was kind of bummed out on Sunday, and I'm bummed out now for the whole season because I don't know, like, you know, how this is going to work. But, you know, unless I call my guy.
I know a guy. I know a guy who deals. He'll be able to hook you up. He's got some things.
There are times I get geared up when I think I'm going to get sex, and I don't get it, and I'm all amped up for it. You know what I mean? Like you're going on a date or something, you're talking all nice to your girl, and you think you're going to get it, and then it's like,
and
oh,
your wife comes in.
Yeah.
Ruins everything.
Who are you just talking to? Who's that on the phone?
Is that why you're always telling me, what? Nothing. Yeah, Keith, let me call you back.
You still go on dates?
Yeah.
You're married.
Every now and then.
Yeah,
dates?
But yeah, he's a guy in the early stages of marriage, no kids, mucking things up. He actually goes out places and like has a good time.
What's my excuse?
And like what you're saying
is you
wear
sweatpants everywhere you go. That's your problem.
And you're the kid mucking things up.
So you think at the end of these nights that maybe, hey, listen, you know, we're setting the mood and we should, you know, you should be getting some and it's like a given almost?
Yeah, well, sometimes it is, but then sometimes it doesn't. And then you gear yourself up for it and then either your girl drinks too much, she passes out. You drink too much, you pass out. You know, this thing's involved.
Do you drink too much, you stab your girl.
Exactly.
Things happen.
She doesn't pass out and it's off.
Exactly.
The roofies don't kick in.
Exactly.
So what do you do?
Out with her pants on.
What do you do in that situation? Do you like sulk or get mad? Like, are you like one of them? Like
fret time.
It was no. I'll just go in and have fret time. But it'll be louder.
Problem
it'll be louder
solved.
Trying to wake her up out of spite.
This is your fault.
Banging on the wall.
Well, there's the answer our buddy Keith was asking. Didn't Fred just say recently that he's never had blue balls? So he never gets to that point. He takes care of it himself. He doesn't let it get to that point.
There's no need. Why should you let it?
Right? I wouldn't. I won't.
Because it's filthy.
Thank you.
Filthy, disgusting, dirty habit.
Oh, come on. Please. Anything else? You, Brian? You geared up for stuff that never comes to fruition?
Sadly and predictably for me in my life, it's all about video games.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
You're going to get the platinum trophy and you never do?
I mean, not to... there's certainly that level of it, but just getting to play a video game. Like, I look forward to it. I'll go through a whole bunch of chores that I got to do during the day, and I know, like... Okay, a big part of my life now is I can't really play video games in front of or with my girlfriend. So whenever she's there, I basically can't do that. So when she's not there, I have like all these things that I have to do, but they might go on the side because this is prime video game time. But when I can't put it off, I'm doing other stuff, and then I'm getting ready to turn the thing on, and she shows up, you know, back from wherever she's been, and I don't get to play anymore, and it's disappointing. Or like I'll play because of this, I play late at night. I'll wait until she like passes out or goes to sleep late at night. I'll play until the wee hours. She'll stay up late, and it gets me like more and more angry as the hours wear on.
Is there
like,
ever,
aren't you tired, honey?
But is there ever a time where she's just doing something that like doesn't require you, so you know it's okay for you to play? Or
there's been times when she's not really paying attention to what's on screen, or she's reading, or maybe she falls asleep. I feel guilty about like. Doing that well.
I love Dr. X calling it out in the Heroes Talk Room. Okay, time to hit the gong. Brian said video games ad nauseum again.
That's what I mean. I know. It's really predictable. But in my life, that's how I define like pleasure and gratification. And when I don't get it, you know.
You know what's weird about the stage I'm in my life now? I used to get excited about stuff like I used to get excited about like going out. And we are all – I'm pretty sure all of us, or at least me, Chris, and Fred have a mutual friend that I would be waiting to go out with at like 9 o'clock. He'd say like, all right, yeah, I should be by at like 9. And then that slowly like at times would end up being like 2 in the morning at some point. And quite often at 2 in the morning, he'd be like, all right, I'm up the block. I'll be there in a few minutes. And then we would just go out for like, you know, wherever we were going for like
Are you talking about
hours.
Yao?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yao, I'll be there in a little bit.
Like,
sup with the kid. Sup with the kid.
For 2 hours. But there would also be times that, like, I would always be ready to go. But for the most part, like, if somebody ever called, like, if it said, yeah, you know what, it's not going to happen tonight, I would be so bummed because I'd be like, wow, I'm sitting here dressed, ready to go. Like, you know, and just like, and to that point where I was like wearing like something, like a suit or something nice. So I'm just kind of like trying not to get too involved in like my couch and cat hair and stuff. So I'm kind of just like walking around all wrapped in plastic for a little while, you know, and then like, and then it's so disappointing. Now it's the opposite. If I think it's getting to that point and somebody's going to break plans and then they're like, all right, we'll be there in 20 minutes. It's like, come on, I was ready to stay in tonight. And then it's like I gear up for a big night of doing what I do every other night and not having to go out.
You've pulled the rug out from under me on a couple of occasions, Keith. We've made like tentative plans to actually like, hey, let's go out and we'll meet up at this bar. Or let's go see this this dumb little theater piece or something. And then
I will say, without question, other than me, I think Keith pulls the rug out more often than anyone I've ever met.
You've been that guy.
On going out?
You mean? Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Like,
absolutely.
Hey, let's go and hang out. And, hey, yeah, maybe we'll the four bail, of us will get minute. Together. And then it's
oh,
like,
yeah, now.
Right,
yeah. Oh, yeah, now. Yeah. It's
not now. I think always. I don't think this is like – I don't think this is this week. I think you've always been there. Don't get me wrong. I fully acknowledge that there are friends of ours that use my last name as the word to describe not showing up. I know that I'm terrible for saying, oh, yeah, I'll be there, and I never make it, ever. So I acknowledge that, but you're not too far behind me in that, and you've always been that way.
Yeah, I that's true. I've been bad. Well, you know what it is?
Need we go back to last week's show where you explained that I was in a band for 9 years that you never showed up for one show for, but you've told me you were coming 100 times. Joining us on the Hops of All Lines here on Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. Who's this?
This is Jeff from the Watch
Out. Hey, Jeff. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Listen, speaking of hanging out, after the Labor Day barbecue bash, you and I and your friend with the large breast walked around, Manhattan for a little bit.
Indeed.
And, I discussed this briefly on my show. I fell asleep at one point and I woke to her friend taking a photograph, of your friend with the large breast, pushing them, into my face while sticking her tongue out. And I'm just calling to request to have that picture destroyed.
I was not aware of said picture. Have you seen this picture?
I saw the camera go off, and they all seemed to be having a lot of fun at my expense. Little did I know that that particular photograph will cost me half of everything I own. So,
wow. Yeah, I was
if we can just locate that photograph and get it destroyed as soon as possible,
I was
would be much appreciated.
I was listening to the What Show last week, and I heard that your wife wasn't none too happy about that.
Hey, Jeff, is that the equivalent of a guy putting his schlong in your face when you passed out? The chick?
No, that's not really the same.
I guess if there was a picture of her cock in my face, my wife would probably say that figures and then still leave me. But
it still costs you half.
Loophole?
There's something about a girl. Girls are very territorial creatures to begin with, and even the slightest hint of infidelity drives my wife up the wall. So
I would imagine so. I would imagine so. I will say that my friend, the friend in question, who I'm sure is who this picture was taken of with Jeff, when I actually was leaving the bar at 2 o'clock or so, whatever it was, as I was leaving, I attempted to say goodbye to Jeff, and he was already asleep at that point. So I don't know when this photograph actually happened.
And Jeff, I haven't seen it. Where have you seen it? Have you seen it out there? Have you seen it, Chris?
No, I haven't.
No, I don't think they posted it anywhere, and I don't even think they know my name. But the fact that it's out there makes me uncomfortable. You know what I mean?
Well, I just want to say an amazing point here being brought up by our friend Steve LaLarper in the Pal Talk room, but you're not going to deny it on a radio show
I'm trying to get ahead of the news story here in case, you know, this big
hullabaloo
scandal should break. You know, I don't want to look like the idiot, you know.
Trying to deny it after the fact. Yeah, you're letting him know.
I didn't do anything, you know. Like.
Oh, so Jeff, you told her already. You said it's out there. This is what happened.
On the
air. Yeah. But okay. There's something about putting an actual photo to an event that really kind of puts the period at the end of a sentence, you know.
That's
basically the equivalent of, I cheated on you. Here's the video.
He did. He totally brought it up. Like, it would have no one would have ever found out about this.
Of course they
would have. From now, a photo would have come out.
Until it was on Facebook.
It would be okay if the girl was unattractive, like, say, I don't know, I'm going to throw a name out, Barb.
Ouch. But
if, what? You know, your friend was very well endowed chest-wise, and my wife knows I'm a big fan of the big boobies. And, you know, I don't know how she'd react to this photo.
Understood. I will make an effort to contact this person and find out.
You have that poll, Chris?
Oh, I have this. Yeah, I work in the same office with her.
What if you walk
up the hall?
What if you Photoshop the picture down a cup size or two?
Okay, would that help? Yeah, if I made her an A cup in the picture, would you be all right? Yeah. I'll make sure that it's, if it's not destroyed, that it's at least just for her own personal collection as she enjoys herself.
Or we make a T-shirt out of it.
I don't need to post it with comments saying, guess what happened next, or anything to that effect.
Okay. I'll see. If it's there, I'll make sure to tag you in her Facebook page so you can get that shot and you'll know what's up.
Okay, let's be honest. I know women find me irresistible. I am a radio celebrity, and there's a certain amount of intoxication that comes along with that title. But, I am a married man.
Understood. And we understood. I understand that this was a, it looks like a fun little joke. It was just a fun little joke that happened, and that's all it was.
Yeah, that's how World War I started.
It's true. Nigeria?
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Jeff. We'll do what we can. It's Jeff from The What Show every Friday night here on Hear Us Talk. That's hearustalk.com, thing you do with your place. By the way, I'm hoping he posts last week's show soon. It's being asked. When's he going to?
Yes. My wife is actually on her way now with my computer in the car. She's coming back from The Daily Show. The special guest was Bill Clinton, so I'm very excited to hear how that works.
Oh, nice.
Another guy that did something with Eleni.
Yeah.
Wow. By the way, Jeff's comment about an unattractive girl like Barb it's not going over well in the Pal Talk room. Apparently, Barb's now made it her own personal mission to get that photo now, and that photo's going to be posted every place. I don't know if this is a war that I would have gotten into. Awesome. Thanks,
all right,
Jeff.
Take care, guys. Barb's fat.
Awesome. Oh. Hey, wait a minute.
I do not approve of those statements.
What did he say? Brian's fat?
Yes, that's what he said. You know, along those same lines, what just happened to me is my mother saw a photograph on someone's Facebook for God damn you people for having Facebook. And, like, my mother is now attached to the show in some way. She's seen photographs of me sucking face with Voldemort.
Wait a minute. How?
Someone,
does,
like,
your girlfriend have a Facebook?
My girlfriend is all, like, tied into Facebook or whatever, but I think my mommy was checking out the radio show that she heard about it and like, saw these photographs of me kissing a guy.
Well,
was
she,
like, is there something I need to know about this?
Then she had to find out about the radio show in a different way and then went looking and saw.
Probably,
she,
yeah,
just posted there.
Yeah. I think I might have mistakenly sent her an email from Brian at Best of Show Radio.
Did you mistakenly sent her an email? Hey, Mom, I'm doing the show now. Check it out.
Mom, I'm kissing men now. Check it out.
Babe, see, I think everyone needs to be a little bit more selective when they're out for Labor Day parties about when their pictures are being taken, and then you wouldn't have to worry about these things.
Yeah,
you'd be fine.
Alcohol. What can I say, man? Me and Jeff. I get you, Jeff. I get you.
So what?
It's Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Heroes Talk, the thing you do with your ears, a place to be. Magical Wonderland, Fantasy Cavalcade, all that stuff. If you want to be a part, you can, 877-744-6405. That's 877-744-6405.
So I busted out of my little hole this week.
Oh, sorry. That was something
different. There's no picture, though. I'm not
picture?
Getting in trouble. No, I came out of
By the way, speaking of busting out of a hole, could I just interrupt and say, am I allowed to put my shirt back on yet?
You're allowed to put Fred's shirt on. You're only allowed to put Fred's shirt on.
Can I put?
Can you make Fred wear your shirt when he comes back?
Oh, what's wrong with my shirt? Actually, my shirt's covered in blood. I'm being dead serious.
Got a story for us, maybe? Yeah, oh, so you actually made an attempt to turn the Princess Protection Plan off?
Yeah, right now, exactly. And my daughter hit me with a hammer. Now, I have blood all on the bottom of my shirt. I don't think anyone's going to want to wear that. I actually cut my hand at work today, and it was bleeding all over the place.
We've worn your skin tags on our head, though.
Fred, oh, wait, you put your shirt on, too? Now I feel like an idiot that's sitting
leave your shirt
shirtless. Of course
I had to go greet our guest outside, so I couldn't go shirtless to greet our guest. I think that would be very unprofessional.
Okay,
no?
Okay, understood. You're always being a professional guest. What are you talking about?
So I spent the last couple weeks, I started school a few weeks ago. It's a state university, but it's all, you needed to start that a little slower.
Slower, and other people were supposed to have joined in. Not going to happen.
One hand clapping to his own makes a very nice sound. So I've been hit with an amazing amount of schoolwork, and I came up at an amazing amount of job applications, and that's basically what I do now all day, except for the few scramble games I play, you know, in and out there, is I apply for jobs, and I do my schoolwork. So I'm applying for jobs, and I noticed a trend that's developed, and I understand there's a recession right now. I understand the economy's in bad shape. I understand employers are in a position where they can be maybe more selective than if the job market was wide open. And, you know,
has there ever been a time when job givers have ever been like just throwing things out there?
Not throwing things out there.
Yeah, the bubble, like late 90s, early
90s. Yeah, and not throwing things out there, but
they gave you a job.
They,
Chris,
pretty much right now.
I'm an unbelievable professional.
You weren't
stop
then
it
when they hired you.
Of
you
course
were such
I was
spell.
I was fantastic. They saw my potential, the unbridled potential that was sitting there, and they latched onto it.
Case in point.
If they put the job out there now, they pretty much know they're going to get a wide range of people to select from, any experience level. You know, they can pretty much, as long as they're not in a rush to fill it, they can pretty much take their time and choose who they want to give the job to. So I'm applying for jobs, and I'm noticing I'm applying for a lot of jobs in the food service industry because I thought maybe, you know, there's a lot of restaurants in New York City.
What kind of level of food service? I mean, you're talking waiting?
Talking waiting, even, you know, the other stuff, the bar back, that type
chef
of stuff, you know, host, things like that.
Okay.
And I notice a lot of jobs are asking for pictures. Now, I always remember model, shoots, picture, actor needed, picture wanted, you know, all this stuff. They're asking for pictures for these jobs. And the more I look, I realize it's now spreading to waiters. It's now spreading to host or hostess. It's now spreading to cashier. We'll be dealing with the public a lot. It's getting more and more they're asking for photos. And then I think I saw the ultimate shock I had was when somebody needed to hire an accounts receivable rep for inside their office, please send photo with your resume.
Wow.
at what point is it okay to just start asking people what they look like?
Are you hot?
Well,
before you come in for an interview, are you hot? We need to know because we're not really into unattractive people being part of our business.
Basically, position open needed. Young white girl between 18 and 24 that will not tell my wife I'm flirting with you. Like that. That why not start posting that?
18 to 24 female, 100 pounds or less, doesn't like clothes.
You know, the waiters and the hostesses and even like concierge at hotels and stuff like that. It is not uncommon. It's not a phenomenon of our horrible economy right now. That's happening. That's actually been for some time now. They've been demanding photos be part of that. And a lot of people now are putting resumes together with their photos on it.
I can't believe that the recession is hitting the ugly the hardest. I can't believe it.
Well, it's not. That's what I'm saying is that it's just waiters and that stuff has always been there. I think with the accounts receivables, they're not looking for pretty people. They're making sure that you're young. They don't want an old guy. I think that's their way of avoiding the ageism.
And isn't that the reason?
Wait, they're getting away from ageism by going with some sort of veiled sexism?
It doesn't have to be sexism if you're just like getting it, on the pretense of you're going to be looking at people. They just want to make sure they're not getting someone who's going to retire in 3 years.
But the thing is, like, what I understand why they're doing it. Or I understand there could be many reasons. Maybe they want a white person. Maybe they want someone a certain age. Maybe they
Oh, that's acceptable.
But that's what I'm saying. They have plenty of reasons that they might be doing it that they'll never admit to. But what I don't understand is why they're even allowed to say you need to look a certain way in order to do this job. If you're not hiring for some sort of creative venture. Like, I mean, I guess it's a gray area, but cashier? Seriously?
I honestly don't believe, outside of being a model or an actress, I don't think that there's any position available in the world that is that it should be allowable to go for that.
And that's the reason. And mostly I think it was something that stemmed from race issues. You know what I mean? You can't say, hey, I need to know what this person looks like in order to – you know what I mean? It's like
not every company has to be equal opportunity. They're not getting money from the federal government or whatever. If this is a restaurant that wants to employ people who look good so that they make their clientele a little happier or hornier, then that's fine. That's fine by me. I mean I think it's acceptable. It's been going on for decades and – The airplane industry is – there was like a big expose in the late 60s and 70s about this.
Because stewardesses or air hostesses or whatever
it's
supposed to be
called. But you couldn't be married. There were a lot of things that weren't allowed. And, I mean, it's a business. They can do whatever they want, you know?
Yeah, it's amazing. I don't know. I understand there's like – if you're an equal opportunity employer, like you said, they're getting a certain amount of money from the federal government to enact some practices. But – I still don't think you're allowed to say why did you fire her? I fired her because she's ugly and her because she's black. But I'm not an equal opportunity employer, so I'm okay to do that. You know,
if you're not an equal opportunity employer, you can actually advertise that way.
That's what I'm saying. You know what I mean? Like I don't think
you can only hire white people if you don't care about that. You might get some backlash from the black community.
You can't blatantly say it. It's illegal to say that No,
I don't.
I don't know what the laws are, though.
I don't believe that it is. I believe people can select people who are under a certain age or over a certain age. They can hire only certain sexes. And there's going to be backlash from different communities who feel it as if they're not being represented or being taken advantage of, or they're losing jobs that they think they're applied to. That's the risk that the business takes. But I think it's in their right to do it. I don't think they're right, but I think that, yeah, they – and – I think it's reasonable for like a waiter type thing.
Don't get me wrong. If I had a restaurant, if I were to have a restaurant, I'm going to do what I can to hire the most attractive people because I'm not going to want repellent faces and bodies
Everything
in my dining room repulsing the people that are there looking to eat.
Waiters with good hands.
Obviously,
nice hands.
Properly proportioned hands.
Thank you.
Or in Fred's case, no fingers. Their gross fingers won't
not,
be touching his
They're
food.
Not going just for not ugly people. They're going for like hot people. They want
People coming in because of that hot waiter or hot waitress.
Right. Exactly. And like I said, I understand the concept. Well, I guess you guys talked about it a couple weeks ago when I wasn't on the show. You talked about the Hollister.
How much
store.
Better looking the show was?
Oh God!
No, that's obviously true. No, but the Hollister store that they basically only have models working inside the store there. I mean, and I guess because that part in the store. Essentially is the part of a mannequin. I guess you would have to be mannequin-esque. in order to fulfill that position. But I don't know. It doesn't. It just doesn't seem reasonable to me for to be in any place. Have the interview, and if someone's ugly, then don't hire them.
But don't be unfair to my face. Be unfair behind my back.
Right. Obviously.
Right. I just
Brian. Guess what? Welcome to Earth. Things are going to be unfair behind your back.
So why not just be unfair to me? Right to my face, so that I know that you're not unfair. Why do we have to play that stupid
game? Okay, you're right. Keith, remember the conversation we had the other day? I'm going to have it now. Brian, I really want you to quit the show. It would be awesome if you would leave.
That's just unfair.
Brian Free Mondays. I miss him so bad.
Brian Free Forevers.
Oh, so magical and mystical. But in all seriousness, I mean, I think that there's going to be a certain monicum of prejudice against people based on whatever it is with a physical look, and so to think that that's not happening. I think even Vanessa talked about a while back. We had a report with her once about the fact that it was proven that more attractive people actually get better paying jobs and you know are hired for you know get raises more often, stuff like that. I don't think it's unheard of. I don't think it's nuts. I'm looking at three blank faces, like I'm just talking to myself.
I think it's statistically accurate. Yeah, some taller people. They even broke it down by like if you're this tall versus this tall, you generally get $20,000 extra or something. And you know, there's different kind of ways that they can categorize good looks.
And it doesn't even go to like physical looks. It'll even go to like your Facebook and MySpace page. Like it even goes deeper now. It goes like people, like employers can just look up your name and just figure out like all your
favorite music.
If they're gonna go to that level of it, then they shouldn't be asking for the picture. They could just look at your Facebook, see your picture, see who you've been kissing while they were drunk at a bar and sleeping.
I just went on an interview to be
holding the camera 6 feet above your head so you don't see the 16 chins.
I just met a couple of parents that have a special needs child and they want me to be their kid. And so I meet them at a before I meet them,
teacher.
I call them up, and I have a phone conversation, and, you know, she's asking me my background and stuff, and she says, oh, spell your name for me. And I spell my name, and as I'm spelling my name, I'm like, of course this lady's going right onto Google or right whatever search engine and is looking up my name.
I was thinking you would go the whole angle of like, wait, what is that? That's German?
That's what I was thinking.
Like all of a sudden you get a dial tone and everything's over.
That sounds Jewish.
So as soon as I hang up the phone, I Google my name. And what is the first website that comes up on Google when you Google my name?
Best in Show Radio.
No. Is the Monty Church Love? Of Man Love. The Church of Man Love, Fred Blasey Blah, bass player for the Church of Man Love. And as soon as I read it, I text message Keith. I say, Keith, not to be a jerk, can you just get my name off Church of Man Love? I don't want to be the bass player
Thanks
anymore.
Thanks for the job.
I removed the name and I called the lady.
That's really a shame.
You can't take stuff off the internet.
That's a shame. It's really a shame.
Rob, removed it and the link still comes up.
Rob, do you have any Church of Man Love over there that you can play for us?
Singing,
yeah, I don't do that. But you are singing. But when you do that, you're singing.
Ever again.
You just did the opposite of not singing when you sing. That was like weird and odd.
Hey, Donna, why didn't Chris sing? What happened?
Chris stopped with that singing thing. He only does it. He peppers it in. He peppers it in every now and again. If I do it consistently, I've set a tone. I've set a tone, and everything's ruined now. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Kinda.
Oh, Jesus. Hey, Donna! What's up?
I'm going to try to bring it back.
Thank you.
A unique opportunity has opened up for exhibitionists and peepers living or visiting New York City. A newly opened Highline Park, built on top of an old elevated railway trestle, has an unintentional and unobstructed view of the floor-to-ceiling windows of the Standard Hotel, providing perverts of all varieties a new outlet. While unshaded city windows are nothing new for those who enjoy putting on a show and those who enjoy searching for one with binoculars, this elevated park meets hotel vantage point is perhaps the most successful example. Here are some of the disgusting, depraved sexual acts people are reporting having seen at the Standard while strolling through Highline Park. Bare backsides pressed up against glass, masturbating men and women, striptease acts, women flashing lights on and off to get attention and then stripping, porn movie shoots, a naked woman jumping on a trampoline, and countless sexual couplings. Saturday nights are the best nights, likely for a show, and if you'd like to hawk your wares for the crowd, rooms start at $320. Highline Park runs along the west side between 10th and 11th Avenues, and the Standard Hotel is at 848 Washington at 13th Street. For Best in Show Peeping Tom Radio, I'm Vanessa Cheatwood.
Okay, you're telling me that there are people that are checking into this hotel and bringing their own trampolines to be able to put on this act, or they actually have, like, there's somehow some that they got a trampoline that it's part of the deal there?
I think it was probably for, I think it was somebody had one of those amateur video shoot website things where it was girl jumping on trampoline.
Wow.
And they brought it in, and there she went.
That's amazing to me. So this is, I mean, it's like a whole, there's a whole culture about this now that it's, oh, this is the hotel that you go to show.
The hotel even was kind of suggesting that people do it. Like, nice. They were putting in their advertising this, you know, they're supposed to be one of these hip urban hotels, and they were putting in their advertising some things about how that people should come in and show off, and it got a little, like, risque on the website, and so many people complained about pushing their strollers through the park and seeing these crazy sex acts at the hotel that the hotel has now taken down all of that stuff off of their Facebook page and all their promo material.
But the windows are still there.
They said that they would put in a memo, like in their you know, in their policies, their hotel policies, that glass is transparent, so that people would be reminded. But no, they don't have, it's not curtains. I mean, it's designed to have an unobstructed view. It just so happens that this park was put in after the hotel was built. I mean, you know, after the hotel was remodeled and had all this glass. And
so then the goal,
kind of view.
So the goal was always just to have this wide open thing, not necessarily that this wide open thing was to show off for people that were walking by. That just happened to be
the wide open thing used to be a view of the river.
Right on. Now it has another special added bonus that you get, the fact that you have,
yes,
you get to, hey, look who's going to see. Well, look at people looking at hibiscus that are now going to be able to see your hibiscus while you're running through here. It's fantastic.
Well, as a direct result of the Highline Project, a lot of these hotels and a lot of businesses all along that strip have been like revamped. Hotels have been opening up on the Highline, and they've been rebuilding and revamping their architecture to sort of work with the new modern structure that this Highline is going to go with. So I can almost see they did this with full intention. I mean, you're suggesting, Vanessa, that it was before just a big glass open system, even before they started building the Highline.
I believe that the Standard has been there for a little while, and maybe they were looking way down the road at urban planning and seeing that there was going to be a park. But it's not that you wouldn't have been able to see before, but no one was walking around at that height, at that level, to have such a direct, you know, bird's eye view of these hotel windows.
I love that moms.
And now they do.
I love that moms in strollers are, like, walking around complaining about, like, lucidivist behavior in, like, the Chelsea area. I mean, what are they? Really? That's New York is.
So because this is a socially forward neighborhood, as far as you're concerned, that nudity in the streets is now acceptable, and sex acts, live sex acts, are just normal. And you should be used to that. It's fine. Hey, it's Chelsea.
Yep.
You should see a labia. You know, that's crazy talk. That's, I mean, I think you go into a little far.
If you know it's there, stop bringing your kids in their strollers over to take a look at it. I mean. Clearly,
this is that argument we've had over and over, I think, though.
But it can't be a park just for the raincoat crowd, you know, that wants to go and, like, stare at naughty bits. Like, it's a park. Like, the city builds parks for people to enjoy, and, you know, who goes to a park but people with kids?
I just thought there was a certain amount of legality with being able to just be nude in public. I guess the idea that you're behind a pane of glass, you're not really in public, I guess, is the
only... You're in your hotel room. You're There is an assumption of privacy in your hotel room.
So if I live across the street from a schoolyard and I have a big bay window and I stand there gently stroking myself during lunchtime, cops aren't going to get called?
Okay, first of all, don't.
Okay, don't move by a school.
No, you're probably going to have the police called on you. But, I mean, this is of a transient nature, you know? This is different people checking in and out of these rooms all the time.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not, I mean, yes, can families go to the Highline Park? I suppose so. But it's not, I mean, if you see how it's marketed, if you see the way that it's presented, it is sort of like a little hipster, fun, kind of wacky place to go check out naked people in hotel rooms.
I will say, now that I know about this and know that this is the point behind it, I'm going to be spending a lot of time there staring into windows, coming with my binoculars. Having a fantastic time.
I'm just saying this, like, freaking stroller mafia mentality is it kills me. Every time I hear about it,
oh,
making
man,
away another
this
part.
Is just another opportunity for you to kid bash.
Kind of. Or, yeah, parent bash. I mean, why is... not that I want to go out and look at people naked in a hotel. I'm not going to run down and go check out at the Highline to make it happen. But, I mean, whatever. People are enjoying themselves. It's now part of the New York culture, and people were talking about it. And now parents want to make it safer for their children, and it's going
to
go away.
But you don't see something to the fact that people are enjoying themselves, like, and that's all that matters. What if people are enjoying themselves by slitting people's throats? And I know I'm making a big leap
right,
there.
But where's the line?
But it's you know, if there's going, you've said it yourself, if there's going to be any line where, you know, there should be none at all, I don't know.
I say screw the children.
Literally?
Not in the hotel room.
Okay.
I'm saying,
depending on who's looking.
I'm saying if people are, they got their panties in a twist because of all these things that are...
That's room 304, by the way, is the panty twisting room.
If they're having problems as adults sitting out there and taking a look at this stuff and, oh my God, this is a horrifying incident, this can't happen in public... Then I get it, but do it because my 3-year-old kid doesn't want to see this. That, in my eyes, that's not enough of a reason. And it's you as a parent being psychotic.
There's a little bit of a difference. I mean, you know, this is it's nothing new that like a woman might be walking past her unshaded windows in her underwear, and that somebody might see that. This is like people putting on actual like.
Yeah.
Full
shows.
Porn shoots at the glass, like a hardcore stuff is going on, not just a little booby.
Yeah, I don't think you can just, like, if you live in a private house, I don't think you can just open up the curtains especially if there's, like, kids playing outside or, like, a block party, say. If there's a block party out on the street, I don't think you can just be naked and, like, shoving stuff in yourself and just open the window. I think people are going to call the police and the police are going to tell you to close your blinds or buy some. I think. They tell me that every time.
By the way, speaking of shoving stuff into yourself, I can't believe that I forgot the funnel for the poolless ass. I can't believe I forgot that. Next week, it'll be exciting.
Still working on the prototype.
Yeah, I question legality of the whole thing. I didn't know that people were allowed to have live sex acts in a place where people could see them. Didn't, you know, the bang bus people got in trouble even though they were behind glass? You know,
did they? I don't know about this.
Yeah, they got,
you're allowed to have sex in a hotel room. That's not considered a public place. You can go to a hotel room. I mean, that's really the reason to go there, isn't it?
But you go there
to get banged out.
The buffet is why I go.
I got to get some hotel rooms. I don't know. I feel like this. I understand it's a hotel room, but it's a hotel room and it's on display. It seems. I don't know. Fine line to me, I guess.
What do I know?
Zoo-ish.
Yeah. Mm. Talk about sexy. That's another whole thing.
I hate to be the guy that's standing up for the rights of idiots who are going to go in and put on some sort of half-naked or fully naked sex show in a hotel room for people. But it's just like, stop it with the kids. Stop making our country kid-friendly. It doesn't need to be. Everything doesn't have to be good for your kids.
I can't believe the Germ Freak is calling me out and calling me out for being a prude in the Pal Talk room, because I think that live sex acts may be I'm questioning the legality. That's all it is. I think it's terrific. In my private life, I look at the most filthy, awful things that you could imagine, things that would make the most awful people shudder. And I love it. I think it's terrific. I'm questioning, wow, they're allowed to do that?
Maybe this is going to be something that creates a new law. You know,
perfect.
It has to be limited to a certain time of day or...
No children can be awake in the world. if anyone in this world has sex.
But you're acknowledging, you keep saying that the children is the only thing. I'm just saying the legality of nudity in public. That's all. It's not just topless. It's nudity and sex acts in public. That's the question.
Yeah, they're not in public. They're in a hotel room.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, then I'm going to go hang out there, not in public, and I'm not going to be in public as I gently stroke myself looking in a window. It's going to be great.
From the park. Standard hotel, it'll be okay.
Wait, if I'm in the park, then I'm in the wrong? So if I'm watching someone through the glass and I start gently stroking myself, I'm a bad guy? This isn't fair.
If you take pictures of them, you're invading their privacy, too. I'm going to go stand in the window and drink. It's public drunkenness be damned.
So I really have to pay attention which side of the glass I'm on before I realize exactly what to start doing.
The paying side or the free side, really. That's what it comes out to.
Unless that park officially becomes another big hotel and now you're in the privacy of your own hotel room watching that.
They should have glass between the rooms so you can see the person in the room next to you at the same time, like little slots.
They do. They're called peep shows.
Oh, awesome. I invented that, I think. Didn't I just now? Awesome. I don't know, Vanessa. I'm disgusted by the whole thing. I think it's terrible and awful and whatever.
So you're not going to go down there and try to look at some stuff?
I'm mad that the show's still going on. I'd be driving there already. I'd be ready to go. I'm looking forward to it. Awesome.
Save the world from your children. That's all I'm saying.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
What's going to happen? What's going to happen? What are we losing? What are we losing because people want to protect children? We're losing...
Yeah, like I said, I hate to be the guy standing up for the rights of this dumb hotel to do this dumb thing. But it's just another example of, the possibility that Keith brings up. What if this turns into another law that for official reasons, you are no longer allowed to get naked on the 13th floor of the Standard Hotel because there might be children in the park across the street. It's just another way that our world's changing. I don't like it. I fear change.
I'm not seeing the whole children angle of it. I guess that's where you're seeing it. That's not the same thing I'm seeing out of it.
There's apparently women with children who are complaining.
Yes, I understand that there are some women with children that are complaining.
You think it's only women? Only female parents?
You're right.
The ones who get up in arms?
You're right. I've made a sexist stereotype. There are parents with children who have registered complaints.
Only an adult would complain about that. Only an adult. No kids complain about, I'm seeing a dude having sex up there. Kids would love that. I mean, it's the parents.
Officer, I saw these two big bags that I would imagine have so much milk that I would love bouncing around in. It was really, really offensive to me.
Bouncing around in.
Well, where else is it? Under? About? Oh, it depends on what room you're looking at. Oh, my God. Big milky sacks. My favorite.
3F. Aww. That's room 3, 3G.
Delicious. Awesome. Vanessa, as always, a fantastically captivating and a little bit alluring report, and I really appreciate the filthiness. I'll be watching. Does that mean something?
Excellent.
Thanks.
I'm going to check in.
Thanks, buddy. Wow, Vanessa's checking in. I'm totally going to be in the park.
Entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is Hear Us Talk. .com, the thing you do with your ears, and the place to be.
You're listening to Best in Show Radio on the Hear Us Talk Radio Network. Join us live every Tuesday night from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. for the DJ New Style Show.
So how do you feel, Frank? I mean, you're just clinging on to every day of being able to say you're in your 30s, aren't you? You're just dreading this.
Ken, I have never been more miserable. I'm really busted up about this whole thing. I'm sad. I'm depressed. I feel awful, and this age thing is just really bothering me. Can you tell?
I mean, do you even see yourself as someone who's 39? Age when you think of yourself? How old do you think you are?
I act like a 25-year-old. You know, I'm at the point where I'm embarrassed to tell people how old I am. I'm at that point in my life.
You may act like a 25-year-old, but you have the tastes of a 25-year-old in 1973. So it's not like you're very modern. You seem very old because your choices in entertainment and everything, they're very dated.
Right.
Very dated. It ages you. If you were 20, you know, pretending to be a 25-year-old, and you were into some relatively new stuff, and you said, you know, you didn't say things like, I've never heard of that, constantly in every conversation, then maybe people would think that you're of, you know, you have a crisper mind, that you're a bit younger. But no, you're approaching the age that a lot of people think you are. I pick 40 out of a hat. I just pick 40 right out of a hat when I look at you. I see a 40-year-old man. Afraid. Afraid. Coward.
Listen, I have very few wrinkles on my face. Number one.
That's, you can't, yeah, that's true. I mean, not that I notice or anything like that, Frank, but you don't look like a haggard old man. You just like an old man.
Oh.
So have you come to terms with the fact that you're 39?
This is my last year of my 30s. I'm not even in my 20s anymore. I'm not even in my 30s. I'm going to be in my 40s. You know what's even worse is John Lennon was 40 years old when he died.
Yeah.
I was 10 years old when he died in 1980. And I'm going to be the age that John Lennon was.
Yeah.
It's mind-boggling. When I look at what he's done and what I've done, it's an embarrassment, for Christ's sake.
It is. It really is an embarrassment.
Do you realize that John Glenn walked on the moon when he was 39 years old?
Wow.
I get excited if I get a fucking Frappuccino at Starbucks, for Christ's sake. This guy's walking on the moon.
The DJ New Style Show is live from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Tuesday night on the Hear Us Talk Radio Network. The thing to do with your ears and the place to be.
Exciting. It's Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Hear Us Talk, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be. I don't know if you guys have heard. We've got some award-winning software for you. It's ICU2.com. It's video conferencing magic. It's talking. It's social networking. It's everything wrapped up into one.
Hold
it's
on amazing. A second. Is yeah? it free to try?
Dude, you know how much it costs? $0. Free to try.
All right, then I'm in.
All right, you got it. ICU2.com. That's ICU2.com. It's video conferencing. There's tons of software out there where you're going to sit and talk and chat with people, look at their cameras and everything. But there's one company that did it first. It's ICU2.
I lied, Chris. I did try it already.
Did you?
I knew it was free to try, and it deserved the award it won. It was award-winning software. The 2009 People's Choice Award winner for Internet Communication Software.
That sounds... You know what? If the People's Choice Award isn't enough to prove it to you, try it yourself.
Who knows more about stuff than people?
I would think nobody. Nobody computers. Other than people. Well, that's actually true.
But the computers chose it as well.
Excellent. You know what? I think our listeners should choose it. ICU2.com. Go download it. Enjoy it. Try it out. Let us know. ICU2. The People's Choice Award for stuff with cameras.
Come on.
What, that's not good? Come on. Awesome.
You're listening to Best in Show, Best in Show Radio here on HearUsTalk.com. If you want to be a part, get in touch with us, 877-744-6405.
Please. My daughter's dead! Oh, sorry.
We got a special guest in the studio. We have Bourgeoisie here. Bourgeoisie, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. How's it hanging, fellas?
Great, man. Great.
Fantastic. Our buddy here hanging out with us tonight. What brings you to our parts this evening?
I heard that Fred was planning to have a Twin Peaks challenge for Keith, and I thought that I had to be there. And I also thought that I haven't worn my fancy red shirt in a long time, and now is the time to unveil it.
Look at that. The fancy red shirt says, ask me anything. Obviously,
I should have worn my red Polish princess shirt. Mm-hmm.
So it's like a dual-purpose visit we have here. We're having the red shirt being shown, and it looks like some Twin Peaks stuff has happened.
Chris, shouldn't that sentence have a question mark at the end of it? And not a period?
No. Ask me anything isn't a question.
It's a second person. It's
ask me anything? Second,
it's like him saying, you ask me anything.
I think it should have a comma after it.
Fred, you're a colon.
But I got Bourgeoisie here because he is filled with Twin Peaks knowledge. And I know, Keith, this is one of his favorite TV series.
I'm going to go so far as to say that I didn't think that there was a person on the planet that could approach the Twin Peaks knowledge that Keith has, and I got to be honest. Can I be more honest and say honest one more time? I'm blown away at this young upstart who's just coming in here brazen like this, saying, "Hey, I'm gonna take this this Twin Peaks title from Keith that he didn't even know he had until tonight's show."
I'm not gonna front. I was really feeling really confident coming into today. I was at work, and I got a text message from my wife saying that Schiller had a Twin Peaks marathon on today. And I pictured Keith at home prepping for the show
studying.
Right now, watching all day.
And it's well known, though, But Chris should have let you know that it's well known by him anyway that I do not have cable TV.
Oh! Okay.
So I did not get to witness this Chiller Marathon today. And had I had cable TV, I most certainly would have watched every episode and tried to memorize it.
Well, to be fair, you do have the DVD collection of every Twin Peaks episode ever filmed in both like the European edition and in Japanese. And
somehow I felt telling my professors I missed the deadline on my assignments because of the Twin Geeks contest.
And I'm just so interested in like idiot savants, like how much they know, like how much could these guys really delve into Twin Peaks? I find that so interesting, you know, like how much nerds they really are.
It's well, it's if there is a show to get into the tiny little details of and nerd out too, this is definitely the show to do it to. There's a lot there. It's don't get me wrong.
Maybe for us, but I think Star Trek is the show to do it to.
Well, okay, that could be one of them too, but one that's actually watchable.
A good one.
Something that people can enjoy.
Well, here's the deal.
I want to say, before you give me the deal here, the other thing that I'm really excited about is Keith doing some other challenge against somebody that he's the champion of. I'm waiting for Scramble 2 to happen today. I'm so excited.
Well, oh, Rob just whispered in my headphones that I should leave the room while I'm being asked questions.
Competition's off, bro. Don't worry. Bourgeoisie can't. He doesn't even want to start. Just step outside. So I'm sorry, Fred. You're about to explain.
The winner gets to be dubbed Ultimate Twin Geek. The loser.
UTG.
The loser must drink a cup of coffee with a fish percolating in it.
Wait a minute. Do you have this on camera? Get this on camera. You have some sort of what's it? That's
don't, I don't put it in the coffee can.
I don't know what those what kind of fish is this that you have here. Hold that up for the camera right there.
I think this is a fluke.
Wow, you actually have
it certainly is.
It looks to be like maybe a pound to a pound and a half fish there, maybe even a 2 pound fish with the head on that you're trying to put into a coffee maker.
You don't put it in the coffee pot. You put it in the percolating part, the top part with the coffee.
Yeah, well, but that won't look as good. This is fine.
It's certainly not going to fit into there. But I'm going to put it into the coffee pot, and the loser's going to have to drink the cup of coffee. Okay. I'm really interested in seeing how this tastes.
Okay, so basically going through one of the, I guess, a moment from, for those that are, for the, I don't know, most of our fans who probably are not Twin Peaks fans.
Glass
you,
with
did
fish.
You really just break your coffee pot?
I did, but don't worry.
You really just broke your coffee pot? Fish in it.
We get to drink broken glass, too, whoever loses.
I cannot believe
it. Suck it up, Keith. Awesome. Don't lose.
Rob, take it out.
So following a theme from the show, a part of Twin Peaks where there was a fish in a percolator, that will be the penalty for losing this competition. You're apparently, someone here is going to be drinking coffee with a fish in the percolator. That's
weird. Here on Twin Geeks
Sports.
They're geeks. Twin Geeks.
Up with a good version of the song.
Twin Geeks, who's that small guy talking weird? Twin Geeks,
I don't understand. This room just appeared?
Twin Geeks, 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 nerds.
I don't care what happens to the game show, we got that theme song. It's all about.
Welcome everybody to Twin Geeks here on Best in Show Radio, the only Twin Peaks game show. I'll be your host, I'm Fred. Our two contestants here will be Keith and Bourgeoisie, seeing who's going to be the ultimate
Twin Geek, 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 Geek.
Allow me to point out it's being asked in the chat room. Guys, please feel free. I can't believe with this Muzak version of the Twin Peaks theme. But feel free to make whatever guesses you'd like in the chat room because Keith will be closing his computer and Bourgeoisie does not have a computer in front of him. I don't know if you want to, Brian, angle your computer so neither one of them can see it. So we can get this going as Twin Geeks, this fine game show with an awful penalty waiting at the end of it.
Let's go, guys. Let's play Twin Geeks. Let's go into the night. All right, Bourgeoisie.
Okay.
Who is the first character to appear on Twin Peaks?
Pete Martell. Oh, can I take that back?
Yes, you can.
Laura Palmer.
You are wrong, sir.
Oh,
Keith, would you like to boast? You won't get the
I would
the
like
point,
to boast my boast. Way through the end. That would be one Miss Josie Packard.
You are absolutely right, Keith, but Keith gets no points for that. All right, Keith, finish this line. Without chemicals, he blanks.
Points.
Very good, Keith. Keith with 1 point on the board. Bourgeoisie.
Okay.
the two mountains of Twin Peaks are named what?
Wow.
I don't know.
Ooh. Keith, would you like to boast? You don't get to steal, but would you like to boast?
I don't understand the question, so no.
The two mountains in Twin Peaks are named... Whitetail and Blue Pine. Two mountains of
that's
Twin
tough,
Peaks.
He's
taking, that's
yeah.
way
he's
out
He's
getting
there.
To a serious level with these yep. questions.
So OGA 2000's answer of right and left was not the correct answer?
Nope, not
Here.
Correct.
Here. All right.
Keith.
Baldy and Harry.
Why was the 1991 Twin Peaks calendar never released? Why was the 1991 Twin Peaks calendar never released?
Because the show was canceled?
No. Bourgeoisie, would you like to boast?
Because the lovely Sherilyn Fenn, who played Audrey Horne, appeared in Playboy semi-nude.
You are correct, sir. You are correct.
Wow. Wow.
That is good.
That was definitely boasting. That was definitely yeah. boasting the way
but
you
no did. Points.
No, what?
No
points. It's only about boasting.
Yeah, the points don't matter.
Keith is up. One.
Keep saying that when the
fish
coffee comes.
He likes fish coffee. He's hoping for a cup anyway, so.
Keith is up. One. Nothing. Who gets this one? Oh, Keith. What two roads intersect with a wind-tossed traffic light that is famously associated with the show?
Sparkwood and 21.
Ooh, correct, sir. Give that man another
wow.
point.
Wow.
2-0. Wow. All right, Bourgeoisie.
My answer to all these questions so far was who killed Laura Palmer. That's the only question I would have for my answer.
Bourgeoisie.
Yes.
Name the soap opera that is often seen on the characters' TV screens.
Oh, there's so many things I know about the soap opera. I believe it's called something like An Enchanted Love.
Keith, would you like to boast?
I would like to say that I'm terrified right now because I can't remember the name of it.
I remember Emerald and Jade.
He remembers the characters. I know mm-hmm. it's something to love, but...
The answer is called An Invitation to Love.
Oh, man.
Wow.
All right, guys. Next group of questions are going to be audio clips. These are going to be two-point questions.
Wait, I say that from Twin Peaks.
Nice. And just so get everyone up to date at this point, after the first round, we have Keith up 2-0.
I know that the fluke is in the coffee percolator, but the fluke is that I'm losing right now.
Wow. Doesn't he get a point for that? Isn't it now 2-1?
Boasting.
No.
That was boasting? Okay. So how many? What do we have here? This is round two.
This is round two, the audio version. Now I'm going to ask Chris a question.
Is there another round after this? You're not asking Chris. You're asking Bourgeoisie.
I'm sorry. Is there another round after this? No, this is...
Okay, I want people to understand the game that's happening, because we just flew into this like madmen, and we just started throwing Twin Peaks knowledge at them, and I think people are kind of befuddled and stunned and saying, wait, what the hell's going on right now? So let's get them up to date, and they understand that their boy Keith from Best in Show Radio is... Wait, is that really a brewed cup of fish coffee? Oh my God! You shouldn't have brought that here already. You should not have brought that here already.
It's a little fishy.
No, it's not. It's fine. Fishy. You guys will be fine.
Okay. I see an eyeball in it.
Brian's going to have some.
Give me a cup.
So, 2-0. All right. Bourgeoisie.
Yes.
Name this character's full name.
Welcome to Amateur Hour.
Let me replay that. Name this character's full name.
Welcome to Amateur Hour.
I'm going to say Dr. Albert Rosenfeld.
You are correct, sir. 2 points. 2-2. Tie score here.
Wow. He's a doctor?
There is a tiebreaker question. Chris, there is a tiebreaker if it has to come to it. Now,
by the way, guys, just so you know, you were really offended by the fish coffee. Brian left the room to actually get it a little fishier. He wasn't pleased enough with his fish.
And I looked at Fred's notes. The tiebreaker question is, would anyone like a cup of fish coffee?
Keith, your question here on Twin Geeks is, what is happening in this scene?
Someone's listening to Best in Show.
What is happening in this scene?
How do I describe it? Leland Palmer is flipping out because his daughter died.
That is correct. Keith.
Really? Well,
what would you have said, Chris?
This is later. This is during another scene of the movie, because when you explode the movie, the show. When you I guess. Okay.
I didn't know if he was looking for something specific. I didn't.
Well, Leland Pacific. Is dancing with the picture of Laura as he's as this is going on. He just found out that the girl died.
I think Chris is thinking of later scenes when Leland starts dancing and singing and doing more, but this is just his grief.
All right.
All right. Let's see who's real. Now, Keith, he won it. Keith is the twin geek Chris. Bourgeoisie is going to have to drink that new fish coffee.
You think? Is that what it's looking like? It's 4-2. That's it? We have nothing left?
I have one more question. Keith, would you let it be a 3-point question? Whoever gets
I will let
this
it be
one,
a 3-point
right?
question, but I want.
I love a game show that goes on for a couple of minutes. All right, screw it. One question. Let's go. You know what? Let's just flip a coin, heads or tails.
Ken Jennings, will you give some of that money back to your opponent on Jeopardy so it could be more even?
I took a clip from the Spanish version of Twin Peaks.
Jesus.
The first person to guess this scene wins Twin Geeks.
We yell it out?
Yell it out. Okay. First person to yell out this scene. Are you down with that, Keith? Because you really are. You should be dubbed Ultimate Twin Geek.
Oh, it's fine.
Is it
Spanish?
Keith doesn't speak Spanish.
I don't speak Spanish.
Look, he has nail polish on. He definitely does not speak Spanish.
Salito or nail polish. Just so you know.
All right, boys. First person to blurt out this scene wins Twin Geeks.
Cooper, va tutto bene?
Come stai, Annie? Come stai, Annie? Come stai, Annie? Come stai, Annie? Come stai, Annie?
I know what it is. It's the very end of... It's the last scene in the show when... do I want to do a spoiler alert here? Can we just announce that I get it right and not lose it? It's Cooper staring in the mirror talking.
Yes.
Keith is the ultimate twin.
They're geeks. Twin geeks. Twin geeks. Who's that small guy talking weird?
That's a 7-point question.
Twin geeks.
I don't understand. This room just appeared?
Twin geeks. Geeks. Geeks, nerds.
Keith came out with commands.
When all else fails, throw the word nerd in a song and you win. No matter what it is. I wish more pop stars would adhere to that formula. Just put the word nerd in and you'll win.
I can't believe Keith's knowledge outweighed Bourgeoisie's. I would have bet the farm on Bourgeoisie.
Was it my knowledge or my desire not to drink fish coffee?
I'm going to say that there was I don't know, a crazy... It didn't even feel like a game show. It was like crazy and frantic and rapid fire. And I think that Bourgeoisie never hit his groove.
Yeah,
because
I haven't got my stride yet.
Like he felt like, okay, it's cool. I'm warming up. I'm getting there. Oh, wait, here's fish. Where is fish? I don't know. We're waiting. Not
Barney
the Barney Miller theme song.
No, I got it before Chris. Chris has to drink it,
damn
too.
Damn it. Awesome fish coffee. But
the game show wasn't what it appeared.
It was. Whoa, that's really interesting. I like how you did that there. I like how you did that there.
Well, I'm waiting. I'm waiting on the fish coffee.
Yeah.
Where is it?
Yeah.
I want to do the lean over and
congratulate. Look at that.
Just shake the hand of the person.
It's so weird.
Shake the hand that
I'm
shook the world.
Take all this frustration out and scramble later.
Rob has the fish coffee. Rob, right. Please give it to Bourgeoisie. Bourgeoisie.
You want to smell that? Make sure everything has been percolated properly.
Where's
Rob just left. Rob just walked by with the coffee. He's going to a back room. He wants to drink some coffee.
Doesn't need any tartar sauce, Rob.
Well, we'll talk about Bourgeoisie mentioned he's going to take it out and scramble.
Yes.
He was listening to us talk about scramble last week.
Rob, forward thinking, goes and gets a nice little bucket there just in case there's some vomit that accompanies this fish coffee. How's it smell, Chris?
It smells pretty fishy.
Unbelievably fishy?
It smells pretty putrid.
It's fish coffee.
I don't mind. I can man up. I'll drink the fish coffee. I lost fair and square. What's harder for me to swallow is the putrid taste of defeat. And I don't mind losing to Keith. I mind losing to the Keith within me. And
wow.
That's the hardest
Welcome
part.
Welcome to amateur hour.
Yes.
I'll be honest. It didn't smell that bad. Was there any more of that coffee? I didn't have any drink tonight. Just say.
Well, let's go, all bourgeoisie. Right. Drink it up,
L'chaim, fellas.
Enjoy.
This is what I do to people. This is what my knowledge does to people.
Like, yeah. Sushi-ish or not quite?
It tastes like black coffee with a note of fish.
So yeah. Just a hint. Just a hint.
Yeah. Come on, say the line. We're waiting, bourgeoisie. Say the line.
There's a couple lines that could come. There's a fish in the percolator is one. There are many black coffee references, and I'm a black coffee drinker because of Special Agent Dale Cooper, I must say.
I tried black coffee because of Special Agent Dale Cooper, and I decided it needed to be black with, like, 4 pounds of sugar in it.
With sugar and milk and all sorts of other things.
I also tried ham with maple syrup because of Agent.
I don't eat ham, but he is true about the two tastes converging, the maple syrup and, like, you know, some sort of breakfast pork.
It seems like that last sip, suddenly your face took on a different look. As soon as you got to the remnants at the bottom of the cup, like, yeah, wait, I'm drinking raw fish.
I don't like this man face.
Well, Brian was out there with a plastic fork chopping up pieces of the fish, putting it in the coffee, chunks in the coffee. Then we were filtering it through another filter back and forth. So we think we got all the chunks out.
You
of
want some vodka?
It didn't taste all that much like fish, but it was in the aroma, and as that hit me,
the nose,
pretty sickening,
hideous. Well, congratulations to you, Keith. Congratulations to you, bourgeoisie, for enjoying some coffee from fish in the percolator.
I know my urine smells like after I eat asparagus. I wonder what his is going to smell like tomorrow.
It's sushi. It's all it is. It's sashimi. It's fine. As he's looking up in the air, like trying to like convince himself, hey, it's okay. Everything's cool. It doesn't even bother you.
You can get the duck face on.
I can't even believe
He's
it.
In some weird time warp. Like, just look at him. I'm like, wait, what just happened? I hate this episode.
This is how I look when I drink Jägermeister.
Java bombs with a fish. Java bombs with a fish chaser.
Well, you're listening to Best in Show. Best in Show Radio here on HearUsTalk.com. The thing to do with your ears and the place to be. If you want to call us, get us at 877-744-6405. Come on. And we're here
Everything
all night.
Is come on. I thought come on was just ICU2.com.
Chris, come on.
All right, I'll go to ICU2.com. I will. I'll download it.
The thing to awesome. Do with your fish.
Awesome. It's Best in Show. Exciting stuff. Twin Peaks, a fine, fine television program.
Yeah, I love Twin Peaks. I love television, I might add.
Drug of the Nation?
It is. Okay. In a way, it is.
Even though you don't have cable anymore?
Even though I don't have cable, I can still watch plenty of shows. I'm very excited that tonight Fringe came back, because I actually got caught up to that show in the last month. I watched every episode from the first season. And I mean, it's a little silly at times, but it's a good show, I think.
One of these days, I got to bring the 7 Fringe comics that are sitting at my house that every week someone gives me one to our buddy Vito. Our buddy Vito gives me one to give to you, and I just keep putting them in a pile. And keep.
I thought someone bring. Different every time. Just leaves them on your doorstep.
This is the Fringe collection point, isn't it?
drop-off point. So, I guess that Twin Peaks, the whole, I don't know if it was a gimmick, the whole coffee thing.
What, that we just did, that whole thing that we just did? It was a gimmick. We got people to listen to fish coffee.
But I was thinking about TV the other day, and I was thinking how, like, sitcoms especially have some of the dumbest gimmicks, like, that you could imagine. And I know sitcoms in general are dumb, but the one that comes to mind, speaking of coffee and speaking earlier, Chris mentioned Bonnie Miller. There's a gimmick on the Bonnie Miller show where there's a cop, I believe he's Japanese, that always makes the coffee bad.
Ahura?
And
wrong show. Okay, I'm sorry. I get confused sometimes.
And for the stretch of like 5 years or however long the show is, this guy's always, the big joke is always that he makes terrible coffee. And I remember watching him one day thinking, like, what like is possessing them? Like, hey, we have to put in a note where, I don't know the guy's name, but got to put in the bit where he makes the bad coffee. Like, it's like at some point no one told him, stop making the coffee, you suck at it, or hey, here's what you do.
It's like the Brian video game bit. Like, they don't, it just keeps happening over and over again, and it's fine. It's like the signature thing. I don't know. Yeah, I guess it is pretty ridiculous to think that after 5 years you would learn to make coffee or be assaulted when you approach the coffee pot. Who knows?
It reminds me a little bit of the fact that, like, Al Bundy is, like, the horniest dude on the planet, but it's he just doesn't want to have sex with his wife, who just always wants to have
Who's the second
sex.
Hottest chick on the show, by the way?
Well, Bud was pretty good.
I thought you meant Buck.
when you're talking about that, the thing comes to my mind is the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. One day they had the mom. The next day they had a different mom. And it was just totally late. They could have said the mom died. It was just totally lazy writing.
Oh, it was the soap opera changeover? The whole
whole change of character, but not say anything. Just like going on like every day is the same day.
Is that so much like a gimmick in the show? Or is just like a, wait, what the hell just happened?
That's just lazy writing. Where
it's a crazy thing.
That's lazy writing where we don't want to write a subplot to this new person now. We're just going to put her in as the same person.
See, that to me is almost like something stupid by the show, like by the programmers themselves. It's not actually a stupid part of the show itself. I love the idea of the stupid thing happening in the show itself, i.e., if I could throw one out there, the concept that this guy cross-dressed in the military for years, Klinger, like there's no MPs to be found.
He never got a Section 9? You give him a Section 9 right away in this day.
I just thought that, I mean, I understand crazy things happen in Korea, but like, I mean, like at some point the MP's going to say, hey, dude, you know what? Like, you're going someplace to do some hard labor, or you're putting a uniform on, one or the other.
He was a real geisha girl, though.
It's cute though. It's adorable.
You know what? You reminded me with the gimmick though. The whole thing with the actor changing on Roseanne. They actually turned that into a gimmick when they replaced her daughter. Like it would be like it was the little joke thing that like and after a while that became annoying. I guess the fact that I was watching Roseanne should have been annoying in and of itself. But like yeah, that was like a whole like that was a little gimmick. You know oh. The hottest of all lines gimmick? What was the show that used to do that?
I think it was Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. Who's this?
This is Ken from New Jersey.
Hi, Ken from New Jersey. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing fine, doing fine. I have a TV gimmick for you. Are there no police in the town that Doogie Howser lives in that would ever spot young Vinny climbing in through the tree, say, yo, Doog, and then you know, get some advice or rant about being too short? I mean, really, how many times can you climb into somebody's bedroom before, you know, you're arrested?
You would think that breaking...
the entire life of the series.
You would think a breaking and entering eventually would become a crime in that town. I hear
he's
you.
He's Italian.
What about there was another gimmick on that show. I think the title character was like a 13-year-old doctor or something.
That really is an unbelievable stupid gimmick. That's right. The dumb part, the dumb unbelievable part is the guy climbing into a house, not a kid as a doctor.
He used to tell the cops every time they called him, hey, what are you doing? Oh, I'm climbing into my 15-year-old doctor friend's window.
You know, something that bothered me, it's not that. I guess I first saw it with Dawson's Creek. But just any show that has teenagers that are just really well spoken and they have their dialogue is like well thought out, well planned. They're never stammering. They're never kind of awkward or unsure of themselves. They always know exactly what to say in every situation. I always hated that.
But could you imagine some sort of teen drama series where a kid is doing a,
Party of Five.
Well, that's right. You know what? That actually exists.
Isn't that the Nugget Man series that's coming on the WB?
That's even with adults, you know. People are just a little too well-written if you watch them on TV. But just to pour that home with, like, a Dawson's Creek or any teenager who can speak in words that have more than four or five syllables in, yeah, you know, a sentence, that's unbelievable. I'm sorry.
All right. No, I've seen the show. I don't watch the show, and I'm not a fan of the show.
He loves it.
Gilmore Girls, has anybody enjoyed an episode, or not even been forced to watch an episode?
That's the one where it's a rapid fire talking. Perfect.
Oh my God, I can't believe it looked up to me. What are you doing? Shut up. You're working at a diner. Life's not that good.
I've really never seen that.
Calm down. Just say eggs once. I don't know. Use a common word.
Eggs. Yeah, there was a show called Sports Night too.
I love that show.
It was like a sitcom, and everyone just talked really fast and had a perfect snappy comeback to everything.
Sports Night
the same.
was Sports Center the sitcom, right?
Right, exactly.
Okay. What was Keith? What was the too close?
How many points is this for?
2 points. Too close for comfort. The old guy. What was his name? Henry.
Yes, Henry.
Henry drew his comics with a puppet on his hand. Like, how the hell could you draw a moon cow? How could you have a moon cow on your hand and draw a comic book? That comic must have sucked.
Bro, did you just hear our friend Ken from New Jersey? That's Cosmic Cow, right?
Cosmic
you show
cow,
him the proper respect.
What?
Or her,
get it wrong, Fred, okay? I know you came up with the thought, but listen. It was a quality character and probably a well-circulated cartoon.
While wearing a different college sweatshirt for every event, every episode.
And no one outed Jim J. Bullock on that show? I mean, let's get real.
Shh, no, he was big into chicks on that show. He was acting. It wasn't his real life.
Another horrible, horrible gimmick.
I think he was a fine actor. I thought he was a fine actor. I think he did a great job.
Listen, he wasn't fooling me.
The hand puppet cartoonist show is probably the only show that he could be on and not be the gay guy.
That's true. Didn't he have like a Swedish daughter and a Spanish daughter too?
That's pretty unbelievable. How'd that happen?
He's a man of the world.
From his Irish wife or something.
What about this? My two dads. Horrible gimmick.
Yeah, but see, that's
having two fathers that aren't gay but adopted you.
What was the girl who was in the...
Nicole
One's
Keenan.
A Duffy and one's like a starving artist, yet they live in like a huge loft in the city.
Exactly.
Oh, that's the worst. Every freaking New York City apartment is plush and like a 5-bedroom. And they all pay like $300 a month if they can scrounge that together somehow.
But aren't they nine friends sharing the place together?
Yeah, the sitcom gimmick I hate the most, and I'll say this before I hang up, is when they pair unlikely characters together in a confined space. Such as Kimmy Gibbler and Uncle Jesse at the debut of the Smash Club, and also Urkel and Carl Winslow in some kind of a meat locker. It's a safe or a meat locker or some kind of like a condemned building. That's what it always is.
The meat lockers is just the recurring theme from every. Like, how many times has that meat locker been employed anyplace? And it is just like you said, the unlikely duo that's put together, and they realize, you know what? Even though we have our differences. You're all right. Jack Tripper, I will hug you, says Mr. Furley. You know?
Well, Ken from New Jersey brought up another good point, Kimmy Gibbler. Kimmy Gibbler was like a 12-year-old girl that was always making comments about how horny she was and wanted like naked men covered in gravy and stuff. Like, somehow that was okay.
There was also one time where Joey Gladstone had a dream about Kimmy Gibbler being attractive. And he made a comment about how he was going to start paying more attention to Kimmy Gibbler. She was like 11. She's 11. He's having sex dreams about his niece's best friend.
I love the idea that Kimmy Gibbler, the idea of her being horny. I just love like those words actually being said, like somehow in the show. Like she comes in like, God, am I horny? Stephanie, I am horny as hell. Where's Uncle Jesse? I am horny.
Another storyline I always hated was Blossom's drug addict brother. Never seemed to really be a drug addict. Like, he always seemed too normal. Do you remember Blossom's older drug addict brother? He was always, like, in trouble.
Is that Joey?
No, that's the older brother.
Yeah, see, I never
the
I never
one that's doing DiGiorno pizza ads now. Maybe he really was on drugs. Career sure didn't go down the tubes.
I liked how in the Dukes of Hazzard, if they got away, all right, you win. Like, we're not going to come back to your house and find you and go to jail. You got away from us. You win. You got it.
But what else is going to happen? It's not like you go to...
They only had an hour.
They couldn't possibly pin it on them because maybe that was some other guy in an orange car that said General Lee on the top of it that was racing through the town.
With their heads sticking out of it going, yeah!
Hey, let's be honest. It very easily could have been Coy and Vance at any point. You didn't know that it was those two Duke boys. It could have been the other Duke boys.
Was there a state line there maybe that they were crossing? And, oh,
they knew where they lived. I mean, all they had to do was jump over the bridge, make it to the other side of the, like, and that's it. You're free.
I'm saying you're ignoring the possibility that it was the wrong Duke boys that they were chasing, that he never knew if it was Coy and Vance or if it was Bo and Luke. It could have been which pair was it, you know?
You know what I always wanted to see? Michael Knight get pulled over for a speeding ticket. Or for like jumping for do his turbo boost. And
wasn't me! It was the car! Sorry. Autopilot,
I mean,
baby.
He's always going 1,000 miles an hour. He never gets pulled over.
It seems like every one of these is resonating. I mean, is like all coming from like that same era of like, you know, sort of like 80s TV. My favorite thing in the world is the fact that on the A-Team, they always had tons of machine guns and no one was ever shot, ever. And like, there were like at least 1,700 rounds shot every 30 seconds. I've never seen anyone get shot.
I thought you were going to comment on the fact that B.A. Baracus kept drinking that milk every goddamn day.
I got, dude.
Why would you take that?
If you look on the sheet of paper in front of me.
He's on a recon mission wearing dangly feathers.
And he's drinking drugged milk. Don't you think after the 12th time he might have figured out that his friends were drugging his milk?
It's not even just that. It's when they say, hey, we got to take this flight. No, 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 I'm not going on a flight. All right, you know what? We'll drive. Here, have some milk. No problem.
Oh, sure. I love milk. Loves me some milk.
I would love to be at the writer's meeting where a writer was like, wait a minute. Maybe B.A. is afraid of flying. And everyone was like, yes, perfect, perfect subplot. I mean, that's the stupidest subplot ever. How can a manly man like B.A. Baracus be scared of flying?
I know what it is. It's being 30,000 feet off the ground. That might have something to do with it. Hey, I've got big muscles. I must be able to stay 30,000 feet off the ground. No big deal.
And I love the fact that they could be, like, trapped in a barn and make, like, a tank out of, like, a bale of hay. Like, they'll just be running out of that barn, like, driving out of it, shooting. Machine guns just come out of nowhere.
It's the hit.
I mean, that show definitely...
The Equalizer used to walk into a hail of bullets all the time. He didn't give a damn.
Who's the Equalizer?
The old English guy.
Who's the old English guy?
Remember the Equalizer?
Murdoch?
It's a TV show called
Equalizer.
Stuart Copeland did the soundtrack for it. That's all I remember.
You guys ever hear of a little show called Manimal?
Oh my god, what are you kidding me?
The guy was changed.
It's one of my favorite shows of all time. There was some sort of gene experiment or something that happened.
All right, you know what bothers me? And this is going to sound totally lame after all this stuff, but that show Sex and the City, and it's not the only one to do this.
It bothered me too. I agree with you. It's terrible that it exists.
The whole pretense of that is it's stories that are being written by this woman at a computer. And every once in a while, for some reason, she becomes omniscient. She knows what's going on in the minds of all of her friends and events that happen that they never tell her about. And it's just like, this isn't working.
I believe it. Do you think she would have known that someone was joining us on the hottest of all lines here on Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com? Who's this?
Yeah, this is Frank from New Jersey.
Hi, Frank from New Jersey. How are you?
Very good. I think what you people keep calling it TV gimmicks, but what it is, it's called a TV cliche. They're TV cliches.
Okay.
For example, the last person you'd expect to deliver does. When somebody like a nerd or somebody gets the last basketball and wins the game. They're cliches.
Okay.
I think some of them can be described as cliches. That's fair enough, but not all of them. I mean, there's some of those that you don't see in other TV shows.
I'm gonna say that they're gimmicky and shticky. I'm gonna say that I'm fine with the term gimmick or shtick, or you know what? I'll throw cliche as Frank from New Jersey is saying here. There's nothing wrong with that.
Like, my favorite musician, Nick Cliche.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Here's a cliche. The technically ignorant professional that everything has to be described to so that the stupid audience can know what's going on technically.
Give us an example.
I can't.
Yeah, and he just did somehow.
My favorite one is the piece of software that every law enforcement agency has for the job. Like, they find a piece of suspenders on a fence, like, well, get the suspend analyzer up. And then they scan it, and they find, oh, my God, the fingerprint and the fiber of hair. Enhance this image. It's a 42-pixel icon they found on some forum. They can zoom it in and determine the license plate on a car that was a mile away.
It reflected in a mirror. It's sports science, sort of, somehow. It's like what do they call that thing in football where they have the camera that like was doing like 360-degree things around the field? And
2-point conversion.
Exactly. That's exactly what it was. Field goal. It was a field goal.
Cartoons.
I'll tell you, if I was Balky Bartokomus' roommate and he did the Dance of Joy for one time, he'd be kicked out of the damn apartment. The Dance of Joy one time, you're out.
You would do it once, Fred. Stop it. You do it one time, then he whipped out the second time. You'd be like, seriously? Really? You're that happy again? We're only eating, microwave dinner. It's not, nothing to get excited about.
You're right. The first time might be a little overwhelming, but the second time he's definitely out of the apartment. Get out. I don't care where you're from. Meepos, go back. Definitely.
It becomes the dance of eviction.
And how come Charles in Charge, who's a good-looking guy, has a best friend who's the biggest a-hole in the world?
I do a great impression of his friend. Charles! Charles!
Nice. That was Buddy Lembeck?
That's Willie Ames on the line right now.
Charles! I got a plan! Charles!
Wait, I thought we only had Frank from New Jersey and Ken from New Jersey. I had no idea that Willie Ames had joined us. That's amazing.
I think Frank just answered that question.
You know, Frank just stole my impression. But
Charles!
All right, Frank.
Nah, that's actually Ken's famous for that impression.
Frank, you are a cliche. Do you understand that? When the germaphobe becomes the champion of Scramble, that is the biggest... I'm sorry, TV cliche ever.
I'm going to make an announcement, folks, okay? 3 weeks from tonight
is
a match. 3 weeks from tonight.
3 weeks from tonight. What's the date? What's the date on that?
I don't know at this point.
3 weeks. 3 weeks officially. It's going to be October something.
Rocktober.
What's going to happen?
What's going to happen?
Somebody answer?
What's going to happen? Keith is going to lose again.
for the second time, cementing his status as Scramble Loser, and cementing and raising up Germ Free as the Heroes Talk Scramble Champion of the internet and the world and the universe. That's what's going to happen.
And Keith, you got to leave your girlfriend at home, my friend. You got to leave your girlfriend at home.
Well, I hear Ken talking for Frank a lot. Frank, if you can't say words, how are you going to spell them?
Oh!
Wow.
I don't know, but if I were you, Keith, I'd be counting the days to October something, okay?
40. I think there's 40.
And training.
October something or other.
You don't stand a chance, buddy.
The Scramble Championship, as Frank will defend his title against Keith as he tries to prove that he is the Scramble Champion of all time. He will defend that honorable score of 24 that he got, and it's going to be a vicious battle. Have you guys decided the particulars yet? You going three rounds, five? Are you going five by five board?
I'd like to do, if it's okay with the cheater, I'd like to do the maximum number of rounds and the maximum number of minutes.
Okay, so we're looking at a good 30 minutes of show, just you guys just sitting playing
Scramble.
And
you guys can continue to do the show while we're working on this. I don't want to interrupt your program.
Oh, no, please. Have you ever listened to it? It'll definitely be more captivating to listen to you guys. It's better.
So I'm out of the show that week, basically.
No, I don't think Keith could do the show spending a half an hour doing something else on his computer.
I'll tell you what, you can brew a gallon of that fish coffee. Frank will drink it no problem, even if he wins. You know why? He's that good. Punishment? Nah, that is just a victory lap for Germ Freak.
This is unbelievable.
I will say this.
It's unbelievable. This is brazen. So we're talking fish coffee for the losers. What we're talking about?
If I lose, Bourgeoisie will drink another cup of fish coffee.
Wow. I'm okay with drinking something foul, but not fish, as I do not like fish.
Oh, okay. So you want something foul that you enjoy?
Candy? Maybe.
Lots of sugar.
A steak dinner.
Perhaps. That'll be terrible.
A steak dinner to the loser.
I'll drink anything as long as it doesn't taste bad.
I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be a big game, man.
It's
going to be big.
It's going to be tremendous. October something. It's going to be exciting. 3 weeks from tonight, it's going to be magical, scary, terrifying, and we're going to see what's going
to
happen. Scramble.
I have to. Good show, boys.
Thank you. Good night.
Thanks, fellas.
Thank you, gentlemen.
That's Ken from New Jersey and Frank from New Jersey, our friends from the DJ New Style Show every Tuesday here on Heroes Talk, 9 p.m., the Tuesday Night Miracle. It's a wonderful, wonderful talk radio piece of
the
thing.
The too close for comfort of Heroes Talk, in my opinion.
And we can't wrap this without talking about the granddaddy of all gimmick shows. That would be one Three's Company. Now, Three's Company basically, the couple problems I have with this show. I've mentioned on our show in the past, again, similar to the Al Bundy thing, Jack Tripper, officially the horniest man in the world,
but this woman, Lana,
that's like 2 years older than him, he runs away from because she's too aggressive.
We're going to be honest, though. If you're living with Chrissy Snow and Janet Woods, you got to think that you have a different like set of what you think is good. When you're hanging out with hotties all the time, maybe Alana isn't going to be so appealing to you. Don't get me wrong. Late at night when Chrissy and Janet aren't giving you any, you run up to Lana's apartment, you take care of business like a gentleman would. But I understand why he wouldn't, you know, why in front of his pal Larry Dallas he wouldn't say, ah, screw her, I don't want anything to do with that in front of the cameras.
Well, and there's, I'm glad you brought up his roommates because Mr. Furley and Mr. Roper are these big prudes. These guys are not modern guys at all. They can't deal with this guy living with these two girls. They can't deal with this guy living with these two girls because they might be, quote, funny business, but they're totally – they have no problem with gay people at that time being prudes. It's okay for the gay guy to live up there and have his boyfriends over.
Well, it's not the same kind of hanky-panky that he has to be fearful of.
So I thought that was the whole thing that they're trying to go for this guy's this like this old-fashioned conservative guy that, you know, is and come on, Mr. Furley, is he not a swinger? He's got a problem also with Jack living with these two girls. I'm going to go on record and say that show is not very truthful at all.
Not really. It's hard to suspend any sort of disbelief with it. It's true.
Mr. Roper doesn't want Mrs. Roper every chance he gets.
Yeah, come on. Who else is he getting but that piece of A? He's not getting, you know.
the girls upstairs.
Wait a minute. You've never seen him, like, when he says something good and then he turns off and looks directly at the camera? I would bang that dude in a heartbeat just for that alone. That's the greatest thing ever. That is the greatest TV gimmick. In the middle of a bad TV gimmick.
The aside?
Gimmick thing, the aside to look at the camera and say, yeah, that's right, audience. That joke was for you. The greatest thing ever in the history of entertainment.
He looks at the camera to the audience, breaks the fourth wall, and he goes, that's why I'm getting my paycheck right there for that reason. This look.
And you know what? He deserves it. He deserves it. That stupid smile with it, it's great. It's great.
That was his somebody throw out a catchphrase because I just went blank. Did I do that?
That was his what you talking about?
Yeah, there you
okay,
go.
Okay, nice. Nice. We need to get stuff like that here to make our show have some sort of great cliches, some sort of gimmicks here on Best in Show.
Come
on. BestinShowRadio.com.
What you talking about, Chris?
See, there you go. You want to be a part of the magic, you can. 877-744-6405.
My brother was molested.
What was that?
Was it his brother molested?
Dudley?
No, wasn't
Mr. Furley?
No. Different Strokes. The older brother was molested in an episode, wasn't he?
No, Mr. Carlson
tried
to molest
Dudley got molested by the guy from the program director at WKRP.
Oh, yeah. Wait, the older brother owned a bike shop.
But there's a similar storyline with Dana Plato getting
acid rain in her hair and it turns green?
When the guy from NASA that has the space shuttles picks her up, she's trying to like get a ride, and he takes her back to his apartment and locks Arnold in the room, and he's doing like all kind of funny business with Dana Plato. So I could see where Fred's going.
Also remember the Dana Plato where she... She came out that she was she binged and purged, and she ate her whole birthday cake and threw it up. And it was kind of like because wasn't she didn't she have to deal with bulimia too, like in real life? So it was her coming out in real life. The writers actually wrote her bulimia.
They wrote the real life trouble into the script.
Yeah,
that was brilliant. I wouldn't say that's bad. I think that was poignant story writing. I think it's terrific.
You gotta see eat at that birthday cake when she looked like a pig.
I got to TiVo that. I'll TiVo that when that's on this weekend. I'm looking forward to it. It's Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Heroes Talk, the thing you do with your ears, place to be, all that sassafras.
You're listening to Best in Show on heroestalk.com, the thing you do with your ears, and the place to be.
This is Dukes, and when I'm not listening to Best in Show Radio, I'm robbing cheese doodles from Sunoco on Bloomingdale Road. You heard?
When I walk into the club, it's like, where's y'all D? In the store to get a blunt, like, where's y'all D? We getting searched in the front, like, where's y'all D? Where's y'all D? Where's
y'all D? Have something you want to share with the rest of us? Can't make it into the Hear Us Talk chat room for your favorite shows, but still want to share your opinion? Then come hang out at the Hear Us Talk Radio Forum. The forum is the place to catch up with the latest news and discussions on your favorite Hear Us Talk radio shows, plus with additional categories covering the things you see, hear, taste, love, hate, and everything else. You can click and make the entire Hear Us Talk listening family know that you are right about everything, or at least die trying. Check out the Hear Us Talk forum at hearustalk.com/forum and let everyone know what you have to say.
Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Heroes Talk, thing you do with your ears, place to be. By the way, if you guys aren't doing anything on October 2nd, you are now. And you know what? If you were, cancel your plans because you're doing something different. You're coming to see the Vagabond Souls at the Bitter End, Bleecker Street. It's going to be magic. We're going to be hanging out 10:30. It's going to be a fantastic time as our buddy Dom and his band is going to be enjoying themselves. It's going to be a good time. You're going to enjoy yourself too. Come hang out with us and see some good music and some good fun.
Yeah. I'm with
that.
Are you I haven't been to a good show in a while.
Well, you're going to be one on October 2nd.
Sweet.
Nice. Awesome.
You know, all about cliches and gimmicks and stuff got me thinking about a particular cliche that's part of our modern era that is particularly annoying to me. And I know I am not in Congress with the rest of the people in this room when I say...
Liar!
That I hate texting. Texting, the whole concept, the way that our modern culture has depended on texting and the way that we text to each other is particularly annoying to me. Just the fact that it happens is awful.
I got you pegged, Bri. I got you pegged already. For that statement that you hate texting.
Yeah. Well, what do you mean you got me pegged?
I got you pegged.
Do you agree?
No, I disagree. Totally.
Wait,
because
what?
I love texting. And this is why I think Brian hates texting.
Okay, so so you pegged what the cause of his disease or his hatred is?
Yes.
Please, Dr. Phil Fred, tell us, what's the story?
Brian suffers from a case of, I like to hear myself talk too much itis. Like, Brian wants to get his point across and wants you to know what he's, where he's coming from. So detailed, and he thinks that you're an idiot and you can't follow him, so he has to talk to you about it. He can't just text you.
So basically, so there's two different ways that I'm trying to understand it. It's either that he thinks you won't understand him unless he's doing it that way, or he is not afforded the ability to filibuster for 20 minutes when he's limited by the 90 or so letters that he could get in a text.
A little bit of both.
Okay.
Because I think he can't fully communicate.
Vanessa chiming into the chat room. Yes, he drones on and on and on, and then apologizes about it.
Definitely. Next report. Please do that.
I have to disagree with you, Fred. I have to say that I know for a fact that Brian prefers email to phone conversations.
It's true.
So I don't think it's a matter of
hearing
himself
talk.
Yeah,
me too, because he has a 5-page email where he can't, my message on my phone won't take.
All right, gentlemen, so if we're going to be doing the show this Thursday, I would like to discuss the fact that Thursday is coming and we're going to be doing a show on this Thursday show. Yes, we will be doing it. Thank you very much. Yes. Show Thursday at 8 p.m. So, you guys want to do it?
Blah, 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 blah.
Very well said, very well said. What I will say is I don't know that it's that. Now, is it your, as Keith points out, your favorite mode of communication is email.
The written word.
Is it specific? Is it specifically texting, like phone texting, that bothers you? What is it? I mean, where do you stand on, say, instant messaging?
Yeah.
Does that fit into the same category?
Look, instant messaging irritates me, I guess, but not nearly as much as the phone texting part of it. I guess the whole concept of maybe the short form that that texting kind of comes in. Fred's a little right about it. There's that facet of it that bothers me. That's true. But I mean, even first and foremost, just the nature of phone texting, the way that you have to type on keyboards that have 4 different letters. Like, I have to hit a key 4 different times to get a letter that I want.
You could put it on the mode.
BlackBerry Storm, you don't have to worry about that. Full keyboard, it's dynamic.
No, every cell phone now has a mode where you could put the mode on where you could just text it like you would and it would bring up
As Vanessa's saying, he's not going to be able to write 14 paragraphs in thing, so don't worry about it. Don't bother explaining it to him.
And someone does text me a question that, yes, takes more than 5 words to answer. Even 5 words takes me 5 minutes to freaking type out and get the freaking 5 words and the end. I gotta spell it correctly.
Wait. So the problem,
punctuation, capitalization.
So your problem is the fact that you don't know how to operate a phone. It's not the fact that you think texting is stupid. It's that you can't figure out how to use it properly to as this tool that it's.
I know that there's some people out there that can zip through a text message. In fact, in the process of this conversation, I received 5 text messages from all of you at the table. Thank you very much, jerks. It's very comfortable for you. Everything has to stop, so now I can look at my phone and tap on a key 5 different times to get a letter. And now the rest of the world does that. They're all walking around staring at their little phone, walking into holes in the ground.
I don't know if the webcam is actually showing the green of the text envy that is coming through on Brian's face right now. The problem is the fact that you're not good at it.
I'm definitely not good at it.
But that's what your issue is. You're just like,
that's one of many issues with it.
You are the crotchety old man that, you kids with your things that I'm not so good at. Screw you.
But guess
what?
That's
why you hate it.
Guess what, Chris? He's not good at email either. He writes a novella for an email. I have to go through 100 pages just to read an email.
So he's good. He's good in long form. It's fine.
You guys write those stupid text messages. You take out the vowels. You start writing in this stupid leet speak, and you're douchebags for doing it. I judge you because you don't know how to spell a word that has 5 letters in it. Ugh. You know?
I hate him so much.
Precisely. Oh, my God. You should die.
You are stupid. With 3 O's, though.
Spell it, using a letter instead of a full word. Okay, great. It's really efficient. You can get it out there, but now you look like a 13-year-old Japanese girl.
Bourgeoisie, is texting a decent way of communicating?
Texting is our preparing ourselves for nanomachine telepathy in the future. It's like a prosthetic nanomachine that's externalized from our bodies.
What? What?
What?
What just happened?
I don't know, but Brian agreed. That's the explanation.
Do you text Bourgeoisie?
I text all the time because I don't like talking on the phone. I do like being able to keep everything to the point, and when you're on the phone, you have no control over
exactly.
the situation.
Keep it to the point. Yeah. That's your. That's the specific thing where Brian, I
Fred,
think,
Fred, my best. Emails are to the point. I just
no,
may need.
Not.
I just may. The email, the text that I get from most people are friggin' pointless. Like, you have an actual genuine question that you want someone to answer. Their little text message answer doesn't even cover that question. Now I've got to stop everything I'm doing and call you up to tell you how much of a moron you are because you don't know how to read.
But, Brian, the problem is most people that are working that don't have their email up all the time. And, like, when you email somebody,
working,
you'll be like,
right, bro.
You'll be like, dude, 2 hours went by, no one's responding. Reply now. You're like always assuming that the email channel is everyone is on it at all times. And you are on it a lot. You probably keep it up and constantly keep checking your email. But a phone, the texting is, I mean, that's the portable, that's the whole reason.
But to be fair, I would be working now if it wasn't for texting.
There's, yeah, okay. I acknowledge the functionality of texting. And when pushed to its use, I use it. I hate using it. When I use it, I know that it's a lesser form of communication that's not getting things done as quickly as, for example, email
no
or
way.
Conversation.
No way.
I challenge you to look at any email chain that is exchanged amongst the people that are sitting at this table and
to read his emails.
And try and convince me that things are getting done quicker than they do when we speak
definitely.
To each other. You're not.
No, wait. Not speaking to each other. I'm talking texting.
Brian's emails up. I would love to read one of Brian's emails because it will take me the whole work day to read one of his emails. Wait, his email that would have 3 pages could really be in a text 4 or 5 sentences.
That's not true.
He's not capable.
That's not true.
Thursday was when we will be doing the show on Thursday, Best in Show.
That's
Thursday,
not true.
Yes, this, this, this.
I think the forums, he gets lengthy on the forums. I think the emails, you know.
His emails are ridiculous.
All right, yeah.
My emails can sometimes be ridiculously long, but that's when we're talking about detailed things. And when you guys want to talk about detailed things on a text message, it turns into gibberish, meaningless crap. They're not things that you should be talking about in a text message.
Right, or email. Just call and do it. It's fine. Although
fine, just call. I would prefer.
Although Vanessa is actually going on in the chat room about how much she hates getting a voicemail. I'm starting to feel bad because I left her a voicemail today. I think she's trying to send some sort of message to me, yelling at me.
Even voicemail. Yes, it's tedious to actually have to pick up the phone, dial in your voicemail. Put your passcode in and then get the information and get it back. But at very least, when people are talking, that mush mouth that happens with the text doesn't occur. I can understand what you're actually trying. I can't. There's a good 50% of the time that I can get a text message from any of you retards in here, and I'm not actually going to know what it means. You think you know what it means because you're thinking in sentences in your head, and you're typing out in letters and numbers and garbage. And it's angry. It makes me angry. It makes me want to pick up the phone and call you to actually get something done. And you think, I don't want to type because that takes too much work. Well, then stop talking to people. Because you're not communicating with text. You're making scratches on some digital paper somewhere.
I'm going to say that I communicate with Fred very easily via text. We're very simple-minded. And we say like, not even full clauses. Like, we could throw out three random words together, and we communicate, and it's fine. It's good. And we're good to go.
I bet you can paste. People, stop texting me right now. My head's going to explode. Literally, the phone is vibrating.
Because I really think Brian thinks that people are inferior to him.
Wait, what are they?
That people don't understand where he's coming
from. No, what was the word
from.
You were trying to use?
Inferior.
Inferior.
Okay. People are inferior.
Inferior.
And they can't understand his two-sentence text. That's what he thinks. He needs to spoon feed everything.
Brevity is not Brian's strong suit.
He's
verbose. And he
brevity
needs
is to Brian as grammar is to Fred.
Yes.
It's very true.
It's infuriating.
So is it just the texting itself?
Fred's word. I'm sorry.
Is it just the texting itself? I mean, I guess this goes into the same category as, like, I guess you this is the same thing as tweeting. I guess you're looking at Twitter almost as texting to no one in particular, so that probably infuriates you even more.
The thing that's even more infuriating about Twitter is the fact that many people are doing it via their text messaging machine.
Via.
And they're communicating in a medium that is actually made for better communication, but they're dumbing it down because they're using their stupid little machine to say what they think they're saying. I don't know. It's just, it's...
What?
Just, you know what, send two text messages right after each other, and if you have more words than you have to say. If you can't say it in 180 words, then you need to call somebody.
I send out books sometimes. I send out three full...
I get five. You've received five messages from Keith Carney. It's like one sentence goes into the other, goes into the other. Really? You sat in front of your... You tapped away at your little machine for five different messages that all are one message. You couldn't sit at your computer, type out an email. Probably were sitting in front of your computer, holding your phone up in front of your screen and tapping out text messages.
I definitely was, but the phone is going to buzz. You have a text message right now.
Allow me to point out terrific, terrific application, Vlingo. Vlingo. You can actually talk into it, converts what you're talking right into text, shoots it right over to you. Oh, it's great.
And you guys know from the amount of times I answer my phone how I feel about having actual phone conversations. I'm not the biggest fan of them.
Neither am I, man. I don't like having them. But, I mean...
I'm sorry. I wouldn't be able to function without it. I love the texting. I love tweeting from my phone. Facebook from my phone. I have a goddamn video blog that I've been rocking from my phone. I love it all. I want everything on my stupid phone. I'm not having to email, although I can get email on my phone too. I love it. I love getting it all out.
Well, I mean, I'm talking to people who are the kind of person. You guys are great at sending out messages, text messages, but you're not so good at responding to them. Like, both of you guys will send me great little messages, but you'll never respond with any kind of like detail on any of the messages because instead you'll call up and say, "Hey, what's up?"
If you would send it in a text, I would respond, and everything would have been fine. We would have gotten the message would have gotten across.
The same way you respond to text messages, Bri, is the same way I respond to emails. Because I look at your email and I'm like, this guy wrote this much. I'm like, this is I haven't read this much since I was in high school. I'm reading two or three pages of email.
Words, head hurting. No,
he's a teacher.
I just can't believe that you write that much. No one. I've never gotten emails more verbose than Brian's.
Come on. I mean, all right, fine. I will write a paragraph that will describe other things someone will write a sentence or two. I know. I write more, and perhaps that's a big reason why I don't like texting. But it doesn't take that long to zip out that information, and the information I'm giving you is information that you can use more. If I tried to squeeze that into one little text, it would be all... vowel hacked out and minimized and no commas or parentheses.
What's wrong with that?
Because the way you write five sentences together and squeeze them into five words, and I have no... It's like a code. It's like I'm deciphering a message now. Now I got to run it through the Fred filter to try to figure out what Fred's trying to say.
I don't think the text message I give you are that cryptic.
Well, that's because it's already been through the Fred filter.
Instead of putting A-R-E for R, I'll put the letter R. Really can't read that. R and the letter U, R-U. You can't decipher that?
Without a comma, I don't know if you're talking about, like, this person or if it's two separate sentences and you'll just run on. People just run on stuff.
Come on.
Speaking of running on and speaking of verbose and ridiculous and non-stoppable, we have to stop talking. We have to limit this to a text message length and just get this out there.
I hate you. I think I received 10 messages during this conversation from people I love. You all.
All right, you know what, Brian? I'm going to call you right now.
Awesome. Awesome. It's Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Heroes Talk, thing you do with your ears, place to be. If you want to be a part of the magic, you can call us or text us if you want, 877-744-6405. It's lots of fun.
WTF, Brian.
I
hate you. I judge you by using those. That is not a word. I judge you. You're a teenager.
I WTF all the time. I WTF in instant messages. I don't lol or lull so much.
You don't LMFAO, dude?
No. I definitely don't do that, but I definitely... WTF.
I hate lolling. I hate BRBing. I hate all that stuff. Any of that stuff.
Every day I leave Pal Talk. When I step away, I have to throw on the BBLs or the TTYL, you know, stuff like that. It's all the time.
Possibly the worst offender to me, the worst thing that you could do that would make my head explode. Give me an emoticon. I'm going to show up at your doorstep and I will choke you.
But the one I just
said, choke you.
Our buddy Dan in Cal is Dan in North Cal is actually in the Pal Talk room. He just threw up his ha ha bubble.
But the one I just said, Brian, is great. It's a little pink guy with horns and he's sticking his tongue out.
Nice, little devil.
I hate you all. I hate the world.
You know what, Brian? The world hates you, so don't feel so bad about it. Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. Magic. Good stuff. I wanted to bring up a story, if I could. I'm sorry, Brian. Sorry. I wanted to bring up... I was on
Make sure it's short.
I'll do what I can. I was on Pal Talk earlier this week talking to a friend of ours, having an interesting conversation. And it was whatever. There was this whole story that was going on. And as this person's explaining the story to me, there was some unexpected or unplanned female nudity that had happened in this story. I'm not going into the details of the story. It was a long story.
Somebody took their kids to a park. There was a hotel
right obviously,
there.
Obviously. Highline Park. It was very magical. But there was some inadvertent nudity that had happened in this story. And as it was being explained, it wasn't the key of what the story was itself. It was the description of the inadvertent female nudity. We were describing the fact that you could see certain lady parts in this nudity, and the part that was seen was described so eloquently as the hot dog bun. The entire hot dog bun was right there, and the phrase blew my mind, because I've never thought of a more...
You mean her hoo-ha?
Yes, I mean her hoo-ha, essentially.
Hot dog bun.
Imagine
the front door, not the back door.
The front door from behind. Looks like a hot dog bun.
God.
That was a hamburger. No?
Where's a hamburger?
I've seen it photoshopped into a hamburger. I would have ever thought hot dogs.
Hot dogs and hamburgers. The boys have a hot dog, the girls have hamburgers.
I'm saying that when you're looking at... Think about it. I don't understand how I have to explain
old,
this.
Yeah, two-year-old.
I get it. I get what you're saying.
But I've never thought of it more... I don't know, delicious baked good other than a hot dog bun at that moment, because it stuck in my head that I got obsessed with this for days and days on end, like since I've heard this, that I've used the term hot dog bun to refer to female genitalia all week now, and I can't stop, like, to everyone, like people on the street randomly, hey sister, how you doing, hot dog buns, you know, I love
you call
idea.
Her hot dog bun?
It's one of my favorite things.
Do you say it sneeringly?
Obviously.
Epping hot dog bun.
No, hot dog bun's delicious and fantastic. No, joining us on the hottest of all lines here on Best in Show Radio.com. Who's this?
Hi, it's Barb. Now I have to tell the story, Chris.
I was secretive about it. I didn't say anything. But yes, it was
focused. I have to. You brought it up. I have to bring it up now.
By all means, please share. I mean, as long as you're comfortable with it.
Well, I mean, I as some of you may know, I went on a cruise to Bermuda a couple weeks ago.
Braggers.
And, yeah. On the cruise, they have, like, comedy shows, and so we went to a comedy show, and as we were all leaving, all the old people, who all love cruises, by the way.
And texting.
They were all just, like...
No, they don't.
I don't know, just outside of the entrance to the theater, just, like, standing around, like, where do we go now? I don't know.
I don't know.
Where are we going to go?
Standing at the
so
top
I'm trying
of the
to go around. I'm trying to go around these old people... And I'm in a huff. I'm like, God, fuck these old people. And I'm going around them. And I tripped up the stairs.
Whoops. Accidents happen.
Yeah, you know, just a trip. I was wearing a long skirt. And I wasn't wearing underwear. And so everybody saw my ass. Oh. Everybody that just went to this comedy show... Totally saw my ass and my hot dog bun.
Exactly. The magical hot dog bun. There's got to be nothing more fulfilling for the people that feel like they were blocking the way, that see the jerk that's trying to run around them, watching them tumble over and flash them inadvertently. They must have loved that.
So mad at them. So mad at these old people that were in my fucking way that got to see my ass.
Did anyone laugh at you and your bun?
You know, I kind of did hear, like, at first it was, everyone was like, oh my God. All the wives were like, oh my God. And then I heard a couple of cackles in the back.
Oh my
God. None of them saw my face. You have to understand that none of them saw my face. They only saw my ass.
They don't have to see your face.
Yeah, that's I don't think the face
I guess
would
that
be
was enough.
Oh my God, she could afford a pleasure cruise, but not underwear. Something gone horribly wrong in this woman's life.
As outrageous and outstanding and fulfilling a thing as it must have been for them to see that, I'm telling you, the thing that just sticks with me, as great as the story is, the thing that sticks is just hot dog bun. Hot dog bun. Like, I've never heard the term hot dog bun before to describe that, and it's my new favorite thing in the world. Do you have any other? I'm asking all of you guys and Barb, you're on the phone. Any? Do you have
sometimes
a term for anything?
When I'm naked, I look down and say, "Oh, there's my hot dog."
Oh, look at that! Look at that! See, that's a little odd and peculiar.
How about for the female anatomy, meat locker?
Yeah, but you don't actually say meat locker.
I mean, you think of it as one.
I've heard meat curtains.
Meat curtains.
Yeah, but see, but these are things I'm saying something that's so weird. Like you've never heard before.
Clam. I've heard some girl refer to it as a clam.
Wow, that's delicious. That's a delicious thing. So when I was in high school, we were actually in biology class of all things. There was a conversation going on, and the biology teacher was trying to refer to the female anatomy and was trying to dance around it without being graphic because I guess the word vagina was just too scary for a biology class in a Catholic school. So she was trying to describe, part of the reproductive system without actually saying it. And one of the girls in the class says, "Wait, you mean Chucky?" And actually blurted it out loud. And I'm telling you, being on Pal Talk 2 days ago, when Barb said hot dog bun, it brought me back to Chucky.
Like, Chucky's so moment. Much better. Like, I understand hot dog bun. Chucky might be like a babysitter, I have no idea what that means.
Not to make this worse, does that mean Chuck E. Cheese is some sort of problem?
Yes, obviously. You definitely gotta visit your gyno for Chuck E. Cheese.
I knew a girl who called it her "Hi, how are ya?" Is that making
it? Wait, what?
Damn. Yeah, she would complain about
that's how
like,
she would greet people.
I was gonna say she liked to greet people. Exactly. Good
for her. She was also a little kind of she was a bit of a priss and didn't want to say the word vagina or something.
But so, she's talking about it.
Yeah, in social circus.
Did I just hear the word gash? Just
not
out
for
there?
Me. Not for me.
I thought I did.
She would refer. She'd complain about it and sort of under her breath talk about her "Hi, how are ya?"
No.
Wait, weird. If I'm trying to be discreet about something, I try and pick the longest, the most syllabic name to describe this.
I don't know if this one is one other people use, but I remember I worked with a guy that was talking about how he wanted to make a lot of money so he could get nice clothes and hit the clubs, and the reason for all this was so he could, quote, "Gotta go out and get that slice."
Oh, man.
And the Revenge of the Nerds, hair pie, they would call it.
Well, yeah, hair pie. I've heard that before.
There is a great movie quote from Wet Hot American Summer. It's about, kids in summer camp. Great. And one girl is going to town to pick up some supplies. And another girl comes up to the girl and says, "Hey, you're going into town. Could you get me some lube?" And then she moves into the girl, and she says, "For my pussy." I think it's the best movie line ever. She goes, "Can you get me some lube? For my pussy."
Oh, I know what he's saying. People are having conversations about movies, and he brings up Wet Hot American Summer.
Well, I mean, at every turn, if he can. Why wouldn't he?
Do you guys know what a bippy is?
Isn't it like a shirt or something?
A bippy to me is means it's an adjective for a piece. Yes, it means it's an adjective for a piece of clothing that has been shortened.
That's what he just said too.
But for anyone that has been shortened, a midriff shirt.
Not where I'm from.
A midriff shirt
is entirely different.
Okay, well we'll get there. A midriff shirt would be a bippy shirt. No. When I wear those little ankle socks, I'm wearing bippy socks. It just means shortened clothing.
Fred,
in my world.
What do you think?
In my family, anything that's considered bippy is soiled or stained.
No,
it
that's
was like
not
a bib.
Me either.
Like you wore it as a bib or like a painting outfit or something like that. It's soiled. A bippy is a soiled clothing that you
In my family, and I thought it was just everybody, and I've come to realize only recently that it's not everybody, that's what my penis is.
It's your bippy?
Oh,
my bippy.
God.
Like mommy, my... This is how you say penis to mommy and daddy when you're 5 or 6 years old. Like, "Mommy, my bippy hurts." Or,
don't,
"Mommy, I got..."
"Why's your bippy hurt?"
"Why's your bippy hurt?"
Daddy made
because
my
of what daddy did.
Daddy, let go of my bippy. You know what?
I'm sorry.
Words for that are always weird. Like, I remember growing up, like, for the first whatever years of my life, my grandmother, and I don't know why she was even talking about it, but would always refer to the penis as a pishy or a pishy. Mm-hmm.
Well, your pishy deal is normal, obviously.
I've never heard of that. Is that an Italian?
Obviously.
No.
It's like gabagool.
I called it a pishy, but that was on a different show. Oh, no.
These
sneakers knows what I'm talking about. Oh, no.
Well, where did that word come from? Where did you first hear that word?
Well, both my parents were born in Poland, I guess they got it from them. I mean, for the most part, we when I was growing up, we called it a pipcha.
I think it was, because my grandmother's Polish, I think it was some variation of a Polish word.
But I think so, yeah.
But pisci is for either male or female, or just for male genitalia? Which is it?
Well, when I was growing up, when I was playing naughty games with my neighbor boy, it was for both. Okay. But I think it's just for a girl.
See, it does make sense if you call it a pee-she, because it's the she-pee part, so it's
so
a pee-she.
So then my grandmother wanted me to be a girl. That's what we figured out here today.
You know, in England, they call the woman's, like, a nasty word for I guess, the hot dog bun is fanny. Like, that's fanny.
And that, a fanny for that? Not for posterior?
Yeah, it's over.
They come over here and they hear us use, like, throw around the word fan. For them, it's the C word.
Okay.
And they hear us use, like, hey, do you have your fanny pack? it's funny, their barriers. I thought that was cool.
Growing up, it was always penis and vagina. My mom made it clear that that's what they were.
See, I was going to say, searching around for a different word for it, I could understand why you don't want your kid talking about his cock, or like he's talking about his wang or something.
My bippy.
There's a bippy.
Daddy, my bippy.
I'm telling you, bippy means shortened. Bippy definitely means
maybe
shortened.
That's why I called it a bippy.
Oh, that could have something to do with it.
You circumcised, bro?
Yes. But very well, as a matter of fact.
You have a bippy emails? No.
Yeah, I'm telling you, that's the same thing. I'm thinking that Barb's problem on her cruise ship was the fact that she was wearing a bippy skirt. So unfortunately, the hot dog bun fell out. That's what the problem is.
Wait, so Brian's thing was in her skirt somehow?
Oh no! Wait a minute. Yeah, I don't know. I just it's always and it doesn't even necessarily just have to be particularly for your organs. It could be for activities that I'm into these alternate names for. Our friend,
yeah, but you're in a room full of 5-year-olds.
It's true. But like our friend Joe, his dad insisted that whenever he had to fart, which obviously is something that you have to describe and couldn't use the word fart to describe, he would always insist that he was cracking rats. And I love things like that. I love an alternate term, no matter what it is. Whether it's a hot dog bun, whether it's a bippy, whether it's a pee-she, or whether you're cracking rats. Oh, I gotta crack a rat.
But just the funny ones. You don't like stuff that isn't nonsense or
no. What is something that's not? I mean,
God, this is gonna sound ugly. A couple of friends of ours, in order to talk about homosexuals while we were in San Francisco, we came up with the code word Canadian, and it stuck. Everything was Canadian whenever we were talking about homosexuals.
You know what I call Canadians?
Yes, okay. I do.
Homos?
No.
I'm not saying all Canadians are homos. That's not what I'm saying. I would certainly not want to say that about the homosexual people. That's a really bad thing, because Canada sucks.
Hey, but Barb, when you got caught with your hot dog bun, did anyone come out and say that they saw it? How did you know you got caught?
Well, because I felt it completely go, like, almost above my head.
It was like a Marilyn Monroe type of...
She's got a big hot dog
like
bun.
It was way over the top, like, way further than it ever went for Marilyn Monroe. I felt like such a fucking idiot. They all just saw my ass. And my hot dog bun.
You got pantsed. It's the version of...
stairs in shame.
It's the girl version of getting pantsed.
I want to point something out here, though. Barb keeps focusing on the fact that her ass was out. Is it more embarrassing that your ass was out than your hot dog bun was out?
No, I don't know which one. I mean, I guess you would... It was really quick. To me, it seems like it was an eternity. But, I mean, I guess it was really quick. So, really, what they saw, in essence, was my ass. Like from behind. I don't know.
But Barb,
the hot dog bun.
Barb, if you had to show one, would it be your hot dog bun or your poop shoot? Which one would it be?
Your poop shoot.
No, the correct word is cornhole.
Which one would you rather the old people see? The front of the back, sunshine or the moon?
The attic or the basement?
Well, it sounds like they got both in this scenario. No?
I did get both in this. I don't think they really saw the front, but I would say the ass probably.
Okay.
Okay. It just struck me that you kept saying, because, I mean, like I said, I mean, maybe, again, it's because I fell in love with the word hot dog bun. Maybe
right.
I got preoccupied with that.
Mustard and ketchup. You're mentioned in sauerkraut. You're like, obviously. Oh, my God, this is great.
Maybe it was my preoccupation. My preoccupation with the hot dog bun made me think that, wait, why does she care so much that her ass is out and not that a hot dog bun's out? But I guess it's the fact that the hot dog bun
It goes with it. It goes with it.
It's a package deal.
It was an all-inclusive cruise, obviously. Obviously.
Thank you.
No, it's not going to get better than that.
Exactly.
Cracking rats.
In my personal life, I mean, along the lines of hot dog bun, because that, to me, when you talk about hot dog bun, it's how it looks. You know, it's the two labia there.
Mm-hmm.
If you press them together, it looks like hot dog bun. You could just eat it.
Oh, oh my God. Oh my God.
To me,
you could just eat
to
it.
Me, I'm drunk. To me, in my personal life, I call them puff puffs.
Wait, you call the hot dog bun puff puffs?
Yes. The hot dog bun. You have to think of the hot dog bun, okay? Think of my hot dog bun, okay?
Not a problem. Not a problem. Very focused.
Puff puffs. They're puffs.
So each one has a name. The left and the right one both have a name.
Right, sure. Yeah, okay.
Wait, so you're saying, so you're implying that it's Puff and Puff, yes. Like they're independent of each other?
The Puffy Majora and the Puffy Minora, I think.
Okay. Puff Puff.
Fantastic. You know what? You said a minute ago that you didn't think it could get better, Brian. Now I don't think it officially
now
could get
it's
better.
A dessert. Puffs. Yummy.
Hot dog buns with Puff Puffs.
Well, thank you, Barb. Right. Thank you and your Puff Puffs.
Seriously.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Awesome. It's Best in Show. Puff puffing away here on Heroes Talk. Wow.
I've been sitting on my dupa all day.
Your what?
My dupa.
What's a dupa?
Dupa. That's what my grandmother used to call, like, your butt. It was a dupa.
But that's a different language thing. It's not like it's a cutesy name. It's a different language.
I don't know. She had a lot of words.
Keith, what are tan-colored pants called again?
No, I know they're called khaki. Just because a year and a half ago I thought they were called khaki doesn't make me a fool.
You know that khaki is a word for poop, right?
I didn't know. I thought dupa was the universal word for anything related to that area.
To make sure.
You know that khaki is a word for a guy who thinks who the hell he is, like Brian, right?
Brian socks, a steamroller?
Awesome. Love it. Cracking rats. By the way, my other favorite thing other than cracking rats was if you cracked too many rats, it was a sign that you had to go to the bathroom after that, which meant that you had to drop an axe. Or you would grow a tail.
I never understood that one either.
Drop an axe. It was like dropping mud.
The axe is falling out of people.
Obviously.
Mud.
Obviously.
Dropping mud.
Drop the axe on this segment. It's Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com here on Heroes Talk. What would you got?
Bleeding mud would be better.
Well, it depends. You got to do something to adjust your diet. Cut the alcohol out. You won't bleed mud nearly as much.
Oh, yeah. Has that helped, by the way?
What, me?
Maybe this is a conversation for off the air, but all of a sudden that just sprang to mind.
What, you don't think that immediately after just talking to Barb about her Puff Puffs that people don't want to hear about my bloody ass? Why not?
Maybe we should.
You don't think, I mean, I figure that goes hand in hand, no?
Segue. Good segue.
Right, it's a kind of thing. A segue, actually. It's a segue.
That was revolting.
Yes, of course it was.
It was a revolting topic, and it reminds me of something that's been revolting me recently, I want to apologize right up front. It involves video games.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm revolted.
Yes, as most people were, but stick with me. You might enjoy it. I've been noticing one thing. The active video games have always brought out, like, my OCDs, more often than any other thing that in my life. I really don't never consider myself much of an OCD guy, but I've been finding it's been getting worse and worse. I'm washing my hands now maybe every like 3 or 4 minutes while I'm playing a video game. And it wasn't just from me wanting to wash my hands. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Fred.
You're getting up to wash your hands? You're pressing pause every 3 or 4
minutes?
I'm
pausing. It's getting ridiculous. I'm pausing, like, in the middle of my games in the beginning. I can't – it's disrupting the whole process because I'm not enjoying it as much. I'm noticing – I don't know what's going on here, but my hands are getting uncomfortably nasty sticky. It's like hair gel is being sweat out of the palm of my hands and sticking onto the controller. And I thought it was just like a one-time thing, like I got something on the controller bad. So I washed the controller and I put like rubbing alcohol on it. I actually kind of almost broke the thing because I had to like dry it out and hang it up and use a different one. But then the other one was also all slimy. It's something coming out of me. And it's not in my head. It's actually happening. I'm now... And after I finish playing, it's like everything that I touch now is kind of sticky, and I can't. I'm walking through the house like a doctor who's afraid to like touch anything to get germs on it, to wash my hands vigorously, and now to try to solve it, I'm doing all kinds of wacky stuff like powder. I put baby powder on my hands, and that makes it last. That stretches it out another like 5 or 6 minutes. But now baby powder is everywhere, all over my house. There's like little handprints on my couch, on like doorknobs. There's in the refrigerator door. There's baby powder is everywhere.
Can I try and I just want to make sure that I'm fully getting this.
Please help me. Give me a solution.
Your incessant gaming has caused scum to build up on your controller from your hands, and you've taken to using talc to somehow dry the scum and make it not so schmutzy.
And it's only a temporary solution. That lasts for maybe 10 minutes. And then I'm back at the sink washing it over.
Can I make a recommendation?
Please do.
Driving gloves?
Oh, my God.
Can I make one?
Yes.
Deodorant on the palms?
Deodorant? No, not deodorant. Antiperspirant.
Oh, my God. That would be all one? Slimy. If can I put that one? In my...
No, you dry them first.
Go ahead, Keith. Suicide.
That's what I feel like. That's what I feel when I'm in the middle of playing a game and it gets all... Like, I can feel when I stop putting it down, and granted, a lot of this may be in my head, but I put the controller down, I can feel the film of filth on my hands, and it just has to go away immediately.
So, wait, you're saying filth. It's not just sweat and grime, like, there's some sort of filth.
It's sticky.
Is this happening more when you're not bathing?
I bathe every day.
You've said in the past that you've gone days without bathing before, and you're sitting in your video game induced haze. Could it be happening more often? Could there be more scum accumulating between your fingers when you're not bathing for a couple?
There
of days?
Has been times when it's gotten so bad, I'm like, I just have to do something else. Rubbing alcohols or working soap or whatever, so I'll go into the shower. But that doesn't work. And for a while, I was convinced it was something on the controller that I just couldn't get off of it. But it's clearly coming out of me. It's coming out of me and getting onto the controller.
I didn't think that the plastic controller was suddenly oozing like your whatever jizz onto your hands from the gaming that was happening.
Maybe it's just because I never touch anything that it's never been a problem for me. But now that I'm touching this all the time, like I'm now realizing
you've touched things.
You've had hands for the 46 years of your life before your video games.
Gross ones.
I guess I really don't handle stuff that much. Like I can't think of like anything.
He doesn't like to touch people.
I don't like kind of having things in my hand.
Our buddy Pristine Sneakers is suggesting in the Paltalk room maybe you need to have a fan nearby, kind of like a bowler when he's about to go up and get the ball, have a fan blow your hand dry. See, the thing is, if it was just sweat...
It doesn't feel it, yeah.
If it was just sweat, I would think that that's kind of the move to go with. But the fact that you're suggesting there's some sort of viscous and some sort of like... to it, some sort of... Ugh. I'm thinking some sort of stringy membrane that's all around you that's happening.
Well, let me put it this way. I can't see it. Like, when I look at it, I can't actually see the film on me. I can kind of see a little extra shine or something, but I can't really kind of see. Yeah, exactly. So, and I don't think it's sweat because early on in the process, I had like a little cloth that I would have next to me that I'd like dry my hands off in case that was it. It wasn't working. And there's no other way to, if you've ever worn hair gel and had like a thick coat of hair gel in your hand and ran your fingers through your hair, that feeling of that thing that's on your hand that you have to go wash your hands off immediately, that's what's on my hands every 5 minutes.
There's your solution. Spike your hair every half hour with your hand scum. And you're fine. And you'll be fine. It'll stick right up.
This must be a phenomenon that's only me. Because I never hear anyone else...
Throats, video game hand gel. Like.
Yeah, Pristine is suggesting that it is just sweat. There's just something that's... There's some sort of... I'm thinking this...
Is it
the
my
fact
diet?
That you, I think you're just a dirty person.
But I literally shower every day. It's
okay, but you're... I mean, you're... There's
Tell
waste.
Me what you mean by I'm a dirty person.
There's waste from your body. It's scummy, dirty, filthy hands excreting
the
filthy,
stuff
dirty
that comes
scum.
Out of my body is thicker than
hand
most
jizz.
People.
It's hand jizz.
Well, how do I solve that?
Rigor mortis.
Wash your hands.
And
stop, I wash my hands constantly.
And stop playing video games all day long and letting your hands get all crampy and sweaty and filthy.
I will say...
It's sticky. It's sticky. It's sticky.
What is sticky?
Sticky.
What is sticky?
The thing... It's sticky.
I can't believe that Germ Freak was talking about Brian's hands at the Labor Day event.
Maybe it's an age thing.
This is who I lost to.
Obviously, he spelt the word sticky worth 24 points.
By the way, I'll allow hand gel on my hands during the big scramble matchup.
You think it's an age thing? You think it's?
I've never happened. I've played video games before. Granted, it's been there's been a long. Time when I didn't have when I didn't own a system and I wasn't playing it as much before, but I've gone through some marathon sessions of having these controllers. Mine has never been an issue.
By the way, Brian OAXM202 is asking in Pal Talk, did you wind up purchasing the new wet controller from PlayStation? Do you realize that you actually have that? It's like the new Rumble Pack.
Wii Wet.
I was starting to go nuts for a while there. After this would be before, right around when I started hitting the powder era.
Juice.
When I started hitting the powder area, that I had thought that I got something in the controller, like in a drunken gaming thing, I spilled some sort of like syrupy 7-in-7 cocktail in there, and now whenever it heats up, it starts coming out of it. But that's not right. It's coming out of me, and it's disappointing.
By the way, Irish Curse is suggesting in Pal Talk that he might be having the same problem because his keyboard feels a little sticky after the story that Barb was telling earlier. It's weird. So it's like a weird phenomenon.
I think on
that note, I actually think that hot dog buns are very absorbent baked treats, so you might be able to dry your hands off on hot dog buns.
I'm making a connection now of why Brian's girlfriend doesn't want him playing video games while he's around.
She doesn't want jizz hands walking around the house.
She doesn't really care because she knows I am kind of obsessed about it, and I get up and wash it. But I think what bothers her the most and what she hasn't really come out and said is all the powder handprints all over the place. And like she goes,
it's like a crime scene in there.
It looks like I'm putting powder on my hand like I'm some sort of Olympic gymnast. Powdering up, and I'm like,
you're the only
like,
person.
Shit's going all over the bathroom, and right. Then on the floor. Like and it's ever.
Exactly. You're the only person who sweats playing a video game. I mean, has anyone ever?
I play hard, man. I play to win. I want to win these video games.
Well,
I'm not just playing for fun.
I'll say this much: I definitely broke. Oh wait, you're not counting Wii. I don't know. When I'm sitting on my couch playing PlayStation, no, it doesn't happen.
Right? You don't sweat. I mean, what is he doing? That his.
Did you see the video, Fred?
Of what?
That's right. I guess
If you go to RadioBronzeFans.com, there's a video of in the video game section
of
Brian
playing Mirror's
playing
Edge.
Video games, and just the looks on his face while he's playing.
By the way, I think we really got to work something out with that and somehow turn that into some sort of online game and get people to do their own soundtrack for it, because the one thing that's missing from that video is sound.
What game is Brian playing?
Not necessarily what game is Brian playing. I want people to do their own lip sync, like put your own soundtrack to it, and we'll actually get those up on YouTube. Like people like
Chocolate Brain.
Exactly. Right, exactly. Exactly. Just do something. He could either be, you know, he could be singing. You could add music to it. You could
Fred's humming while he's exercising.
Exactly.
No, but you were really playing the game.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Like I've been through my paces. I did Windex. I did alcohol. I Windex my controller. I disassembled my controller as much as I could. I did a little Windex on the hands. I cut it with vinegar because I thought it was some sort of weird basic thing that was, I don't know. I tried everything and I'm still sweating hair gel. Out of only my hands.
Just get that. Why don't you get that alcohol antibacterial like squirty stuff that instead of washing
Purell.
With the, yeah, Purell type of thing.
Yeah, but now I'm still stopping every 3 minutes to do the Purell next to me instead of going to the bathroom, which I guess, you know.
And by the way, our buddy Pristine, who obviously knows a lot about the perils of being a professional gamer, is pointing out that he thinks that the powder is probably exacerbating your problem because it's making more
thing.
It's turning your sweat into a filthy grime a little
gel.
Bit more. Exactly.
I'd like to this has been a very Brian interesting show, if I may say the least. I'd like to ask our guest Bourgeoisie if Brian was, say, a new coworker of yours, do you envision yourself maybe going home and like having stories for your wife about you have to understand this guy that I'm just working with?
Come on, I'm not that bad.
I would probably write something to HR asking for the Purell, you know, units to be installed. We have some of the Japanese companies.
We've got to do something around my desk, or you've got to keep me away from cum hands. Anything to just get me away from cum hands.
I honestly, sometimes I want to meet Brian for the first time when he's on, and it's not a negative thing, but like when he's just really on, because sometimes I'm blown away.
What do you mean, like having a good day, or?
Good for the sake of, oh my god, that guy's insane. The texting thing is just what I was just like, I was trying to move my chair a little bit over.
I started going ape, I'm sorry. I get animated sometimes. I realize
I don't like text messages because you guys can't read.
I'm telling you, I think your answer to everything is gloves.
I agree. I like that idea. I think I'm going to get myself.
Particularly
gaming gloves.
Particularly, you should get racing gloves. And I'm thinking brown leather racing gloves.
That is gayer than a Keith's nail polish.
I think it's kind of cool, man. I think it's kind of cool.
Can you imagine strapping on racing gloves to play my PlayStation 3 game?
What are you talking about?
God. It's mowish.
I'm telling you, if you're down for racing gloves, we should start bringing racing gloves back. let's like start wearing racing gloves, like just like walking around, like hanging
the
out.
The cut ones on the knuckles,
no,
or like
not fingerless gloves. What are we in a stupid rock band in like 1986? We're cool video gamers with scum hands.
Look, man, it's got to be different. Like they can't have the little like the racing gloves usually have the big leather kind of sewing. Like it's got to be. My fingertips have to be there. I have to have them in contact with the buttons. I can't have like 2 inches of leather diddling around with that. I'm thinking like surgical gloves.
I think
strap it on the rubber surgical.
You're gonna
gloves.
Have to, but you'll build up sweat in those surgical gloves too much, and it's gonna be uncomfortable for you.
I need a
breather.
You're
gonna be changing them just as much as when you're cleaning off the jizz or doing whatever else is with your hands.
Gloves idea. I'm gonna look into this.
The racing gloves, they have the holes in it so it can breathe
a
little bit.
The holes in the knuckles.
Right.
That's what
serious. I'm telling you, brown leather racing gloves. It's cool as hell. I'm thinking maybe we start marketing them. Maybe I'll see if I can get us a gross of brown leather racing gloves somehow. Like emboss like Best in Show or BIS on them and see if we could start selling some brown leather.
We'll just call them Browns.
Exactly, brown Browns.
All right, Browns, one hand will say Best in Show, DJ New Style, what? And the other one will say Heroes Talk.
Not a bad idea. It's not a bad idea. I love it. I love the idea of brown racing gloves.
That's all fun, but I'm actually going to try gloves playing video games to see if it actually works.
Like latex gloves. You look like Dexter playing
I really don't know.
Video games.
I think you're right. That's going to make it sweat even more.
And if you put powder in there, you're actually going to build up like little mountain ranges inside
need,
your hand, making
need,
it possible
like,
for you to hold.
I need a dynamic glove. I need something thin that doesn't have a lot of stuff on the fingertips.
Wax.
You're
wax.
Paraffin. Yep.
Paraffin. Just dip your whole hand inside like a paraffin thing of wax and pull it out like a mold and game for a few hours, and then you peel off the wax.
Really?
Yeah.
And that stays, it's shaped.
But actually,
with your
that'll fix your problem. If you paraffin your hand, it'll clean and suck out all the stuff in your pores. And
what the hell?
But when you do.
I think I have one down here. We can paraffin next Thursday, waxing.
But here's what I want to understand. Here's what I want to say. With the paraffin, though, it doesn't crack when your hands are moving, though, at all?
No, it's like a rubber
glove. It's so thin that it doesn't crack.
Yeah, you just keep dipping it in.
Can you use that as a condom?
Next Thursday, Best in Show, Fred. Paraffining is
okay. So paraffin bippied from Fred. We're gonna have paraffin hands from him, and I don't know.
I could use some gloves. If I'm really gonna wear nail polish, I should probably wear some gloves to avoid beatings walking around Staten Island.
You're absolutely right, and that's the wrong color for you, my friend.
Really?
Absolutely. Is that black or dark green?
No, it's dark blue.
It's metallic blue.
Black. You look like a goth chick.
Maybe that's what I was going to say.
And your fingers are blue.
I don't understand what makes you think that there is going to be a right, like there's a right color that's going to be more like someone's about to say, dude, I can't believe this Mo is wearing nail polish. Oh, it's pink. I like that color.
Well, look at
no
his skin.
Problem.
Nah, bro, look at his skin tone next to his nails.
I mean, it matches his blush. You can't beat his ass. It
makes his eyes pop.
You need a nice French.
I was amazed to hear, Chris, that it was his idea. To do. I thought it was his girl's idea. When he said it was
Stop
his
it.
Idea.
How long have you known this guy?
I've known him for a while, but I thought he was out of the nail polish stage.
Out of the phase.
Yeah.
Out of the phase. Oh, like I said, I was saying it earlier. I've worn nail polish many times
in my 13
life.
You were 13 and
15.
We've
been on each other's nails many
maybe
times.
Maybe a little older. Maybe like 30. But, you know, by the time you hit 35, 36, I think it's time to stop.
As a matter of fact, the last time I put nail polish on Chris, it was right before a Church of Man Love show.
Right.
Thank God I'm out of that band.
According to Google, you're not. So.
God and, damn it.
Chris sees I have nail polish, and I was like, yeah, I have it with me for touch-up. You want some? And he puts his hand on the bar, and like a real man says, hit me up.
What's up, bro? By the way, I'm so mad that Dr. X called me out. Chris can sell the gloves at the Best in Show brunch taking place at the Renaissance Fair. I can't believe the racing gloves aren't going to happen. Screw you guys. They are happening. It's going to be the biggest thing in the world. Everyone's going to love it.
Gaming gloves.
No, racing. I'm using them for racing only. And only when I go running. I mean, like, whenever I sprint, I'm going to put on racing gloves on my hands and go. It's going to be great. My Browns.
I'd totally rather sweat out of my armpits than out of the palms of my hands like Brian's been
doing. It's disgusting. It really is disgusting.
I totally. It's probably more disgusting than when I go through with my sweat pits.
How about that? Why don't you paraffin your armpits next week's show?
Wait, see if I have any... that's a good
built
idea.
Built up gland things in there.
That's a good idea. Good idea, Chris.
Oh, that sounds so
Thank
painful.
You.
That sounds so... But you're going to have to shave your hair, you know.
Yeah, I'll do it up.
Wait. That... You just kind of glossed over that. He said,
I'll shave my underarm hair. I mean, I don't have that much.
You have to do it before the show.
Didn't you go on record as saying you hate the idea of doing that?
I shaved my underarm hair with a buzzer. I don't do it with a razor, but I'll do it once with a razor to paraffin my underarm so
hair
I won't sweat.
Hair would really interfere with it that bad?
It's coming off. It's wax.
So it'll be nice. It'll be like spiked. Like he could spike it out. Like I think that'd be a nice look for him.
Trying to rip it out, it would totally.
You can't just gently peel with your fingernails and just like kind of like go over the hairs of your armpit.
Yeah. It's like a waxing. It's like a regular waxing, technically, right?
But when I wash it off, it'll come off. Like I could shave it and then I'll go into the shower and it'll just wash off, just regular. Is it like putting like candle wax on your?
Exactly.
Okay.
You're like waxing.
That's fine. Yeah. I'll paraffin my underarms, and Chris will bring in the poolless funnel for next week.
Can I put paraffin on the funnel so it's smooth when it goes in?
Ooh.
It's not hot wax. Oh. It's not a hot glue gun. You know, it's not, I'm not damaging myself that bad.
Bourgeoisie's wife is a works in the medical profession, and she says that it is impossible to do a poo funnel.
What do you mean?
She says it's impossible. She was listening to the show last week. She texted me, and she said, texted me with a four sentences.
Texting, Brian. Texted.
LOL. It was four sentences, and I understood what she said. I actually understood. And she said that it wouldn't work. It will come through
the sides of it. Yeah, that's what we want anyway.
Okay.
We'll put it on a show.
Why?
But don't they do something like that on the space shuttle? Like they've got like some kind of vacuum. I know it's not a vacuum per se, but they've got some kind of tube that you sit on to evacuate yourself. Yeah.
Wow. And you don't see nothing like leaks and goes up into the air.
Little known fact. Space camp.
The original prototype of that was called the intestine sucker.
Really? I didn't know that. I knew with the pee it would. I just thought astronauts would just poo into a bowl and it would hopefully just...
Astronauts. I get it. I get it.
You think it just floats around with them and then, hey, oh, it's got it.
I don't think it would come out the size. She's just not envisioning a funnel large enough.
My log is floating by Glenn's head.
You should have set it on fire first. No oxygen.
Captain's log on your face.
Jokes.
What? We've come a long way from sexy talk. We're now talking about floating poo and waxing armpits. It's delightful.
So sexy talk.
Obviously. From sexy talk to sexy talk. We're about ready to end this thing. You got outro music?
Going to do one step for man poo.
All right, so it's going to be a big week. Paraffin treatments, ass funnels, all that. All
huge
that
next week. Huge.
Excellent. It's Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. Special thanks to our buddy Bourgeoisie for coming in today, drinking some filthy, filthy fish coffee.
The real winner.
And really showing us all that it can happen, that somehow we're going to do this thing.
I'm ashamed for so many reasons.
And that gives us pride. Special thanks to our buddy Jeff from The What Show, Ken from New Jersey, Frank from Jersey from the DJ Newstyle Show, our buddy Barb. And thanks to you for just hanging out and then listening to this piece of garbage. We'll see you guys next week. We'll see you tomorrow night for The What Show, 9:30 p.m. here on Heroes Talk. And guys, seriously, remember ICU2.com. Check it out. It's mint.
Vagabond Souls, October 2nd.
It's going to be awesome time. I'm going to be there. You better be there. We're going to have fun.
And Chris, really, get that picture destroyed for Jeff, please.
I will. I'm going to do everything I can for
you, buddy.
Thanks, guys, for hanging out. Cotton socks, steamroller, roll over your face. We'll see you guys on the radio. Peace.
I quit.
Stand it here. How the people leave us longing for something out there. Oh, why did you leave? And why won't you come and save us again?
Talk Radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears, and the place to be.